Welcome, everyone. I think we'll get started promptly because that will help us finish as soon as possible, which is always everybody's goal in a public meeting, or at least is my goal. And you'll notice I'm not Keith Heaton, but I have him right by my side to help this meeting move efficiently. Welcome to the Community Impact Board meeting for August 3rd, 2017. We'll go ahead right away and get started with the staff briefing, which we have now modified, so the project reviews will happen for each project, but we have some summary items that, and we want to excuse Candace Powers, the fund manager, who's not able to be with us today. Gail Gardner will be doing the staff briefing, and we'll turn the time over to her.
Thank you, Jonathan. Changed the review process. I have to get used to this. I just wanted to mention on the financial page, just so the board knows, the vote last month to move that $10 million from the set aside into the mineral lease account was done. And that shows on the sheet here.
Can everybody hear Gail, or does she need to talk closer into her microphone?
Okay. The $10 million that was voted on last month to transfer out of the set-aside fund and put in the mineral lease account has been done, and that's reflected on this sheet. About all I have on that.
Any questions on the financial review? I know you've seen that sheet before, but just make sure everybody understands what it says.
Mr. Chairman, on the bottom, we're talking about $7,778 and $845, equaling 50% loan. I know that motion last time was for a 50-50 out of that 10. What is that number representing? What are we really saying there?
I see what you mean. I'm a substitute. I'm sorry.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's
but
fine.
I think the question is...
understand the question, and it is showing that 50% as the vote from the board, 50% will go out as loan. What that exact number is, I will have to check on and get back to you.
Thank you.
So I think the question is... if the 50% applied to the $10 million transfer over, or if it's everything that's in the mineral lease account right now, is that the question?
Yeah, and what if we transferred 10 over, if there's 5 that's supposed to be in loan, what do we really, you know, what is left in loan, what is left in grant?
Okay. And these are items we can sort out between now and the funding meeting, but we'll make some clarifications to that. And we do have to start tracking that separately based on that motion.
Okay.
A sub-account in mineral lease that the amounts for loans, since that was what was approved last meeting, that's reflected. Any other questions on the financial review? Anything else, Gail?
Not at this time.
Okay, great. Well, thanks and welcome. You know, typically we've had the staff briefing be a summary of all the projects, and then we would go ahead and review all the projects again. But the staff portion would be done at the front in the bulk for all the projects. But we'll be doing that as we call each project up. I want to welcome you all and do some introductions around the table here, and we'll start with Gail, who. Just gave us the staff briefing, and then we'll move back this direction.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division. I'm substituting for Candace Powers today.
I'm Sonia Norton. I'm the Vernal City Mayor, and I represent Uinta County as the top mineral producer.
Jim Mattson, Kane County Commission. I represent the 5 County Association of Governments.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Tom Roberts with the Attorney General's Office. I act as legal advisor to the board.
David Damshin, State Treasurer. I represent Utah taxpayers.
Jonathan Jonathan Hardy, also representing Utah Taxpayers with the Housing and Community Development Division, and I'll be chairing the board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm the director of the Community Development Office.
I'm Chris Reed. I'm the admin assistant for HCD.
Good morning. Nagi Zinari from UDOT Commission, and I'm feeling much better now we have our friends back in our left-hand side to protect us.
Morning. My name is Bruce Adams. I am not a new board member. I used to sit on the dark side, but they've moved me over here, so most of you won't recognize the fact that I'm on the other side of the table. I represent Southeastern Utah AOG.
Good morning. Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Good morning. Tudor Ogden, representing Sevier County and the AOG of Six County Association.
Greg Galecki, I represent the Water Quality Board.
Thank you. We also have Jack Lytle here, who is on the precipice of becoming on the board. We think that'll happen this next month. And with that, we want to do a quick recognition of a soon-to-be outgoing board member. We're always confused on the timing when this will exactly happen, but just in case this is his last meeting, we wanted to recognize Jay Potter for his service. Jay, as he mentioned, represents Carbon County, has been one of the top two producing counties, and that's why Carbon County has had its own seat on the board. Recently, that shifted, I think shifted for the first time in a long time, actually, and Duchesne County, along with Uinta County, are those two counties now. And so there's some swapping going on, and Commissioner Winterton will now be the Duchesne County representative, assuming all this stuff goes through, and Commissioner Lytle will be representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments. So that kind of leaves an odd man out from Jay's perspective, but we wanted to recognize him. He's been a fantastic board member. You can always count on a quality discussion with Jay about what's what and what's going on and how we can help out. And he's served this board very well. So we have a token of appreciation for Jay for your service, and just want to give that to you at this time.
Jonathan, it is a pleasure to serve on this board. It's one of those boards that does a tremendous amount of good in specifically rural Utah. And so while we have slipped a little bit in our position as far as the number two producer, we are still producing coal. I just wanted you to know that. And it seems like it goes out every day on a unit train. And actually, coal prices are up right now. And we look forward to some additional production with some of the contracts that have come online. So it is a pleasure, and thank you, board members, for all that you do. And Bruce will be representing our AOG, and, of course, he always has our interest at heart, so we appreciate that.
Thank you, Jay. We were hoping you'd give a speech, so we appreciate that.
Short and sweet.
I want to do a quick recognition, but we'll do more formal recognition next meeting, of Keith Heaton, a member of my staff who has been chairing the board for the last couple years, just a little over 2 years. He's really helped me out a lot. Traditionally, it's the division director that has chaired this board, and as I've gotten my feet wet with everything going on with the division, hopefully got through a lot of other issues. Excited to have this opportunity to chair the board. Keith also is about to become the president of a national organization and the Council of State Community Development Agencies, and he's been on that board for a long time, doing a great job, and that will be a major responsibility along with everything else he does for our office. But we'll more formally recognize you next month. But I just wanted to let you know that Keith is still here. He'll still be sitting at the table, helping us vet through the projects from a staff perspective.
He does prefer to be addressed as President Heaton.
President Heaton. We will call him. He will probably say he wants President Heaton outside of his office when that happens in September, right, Keith?
That's correct.
Okay. Last, on a sad note, I just wanted to mention that our Attorney General, who had been representing our board, Wade Faraway, passed away rather unexpectedly this last month, and it's just a sad deal. Young guy, he did a great job with our board. We really appreciated the efforts he did. We will miss him deeply, and we're happy that Tom Roberts is going to help out our board again. He has been with our board in the past, and we're appreciative that he's been able to step in and fill those shoes at this time. But we wanted to recognize Wade and all the work that he did, and we will miss him. That we'll get along with the next item of business, which is the approval of minutes. You have the minutes before you. We sent them out. Certainly open to any discussion, amendments, or comments on the minutes.
Mr.
Winterton.
I'd like to make a motion that we postpone approval of the minutes and have a little more clarification on the content of the discussions that went on. I feel like they were too broad in general, and if we could have corrections made there and then approve them next time, that'd be my motion.
I'd second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to postpone the approval of minutes. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, well, those will be pushed off to the following meeting. So let's get started with our projects. We'll invite Tridell-La Pointe Water Improvement District to come to the table. And we will turn some time over to Gail to do the staff briefing on this particular project, and then we'll have you introduce yourselves and then have discussion from the board. Gail.
Okay. I was just going to mention we do have 10 new projects on the agenda today.
Speak very close to the microphone.
Sorry. We have 10 new projects on the agenda today. The 10th North Logan City has requested that they be postponed until next month and be put on September's agenda. We have one project for special consideration also, which will require a vote from the board to be heard. First, today we have Tridell-La Pointe. This project is for a water master plan update. They're requesting a grant of $22,500 and have applicant cash of $22,500. This is to identify and prioritize new improvements. Drinking Water has noted the system has inadequate distribution for fire flow. On page 3-1-10, on the bonded debt page, it lists a master plan of $25,000 as a loan with CIB. We're not clear what that is.
Vision of Drinking Water gave that loan.
Oh, okay. It said CIB, so Drinking Water. That clears that up. Their public hearing minutes had a good public disclosure. And I think the only question is just the status of applicant cash.
Questions or comments from the board? Well, let's have you introduce yourself, just for the record.
My name is Jared McKee. I'm the district manager with Tridell-La Pointe Water Improvement District. I thank you guys for being here and allowing us to come. Would you like me to go ahead and give an overview of the project, or would you have questions from the board first?
Any specific questions from the board?
Well, I guess mine would be covered in the overview. Is that just exactly, you know, how is the $45,000 being spent?
So the $45,000 is a preliminary estimate at this point. We have not gone out to bid as we have not been funded. We will follow state procurement code in selecting the engineer. We've gotten some engineer's estimates. But what we would like to do is a hydraulic model update. So when we, in 2012, we were aware of some fairly significant deficiencies in our system. We had areas in our system that were falling below the 20 PSI that we're required to maintain. We were successful in acquiring some funding with the Division of Drinking Water and a loan that we paid for an original master plan. In that master plan, we had identified the deficiencies and kind of made a priority list of what we could do for what amount of money. The CIB was very good to us and helped us fund about 75,000 foot of pipe in our system a few years ago. This has essentially fixed my problem in all my major distribution. I do run about 40 square miles of distribution system, which is a fairly large distribution system. And on the south end of our distribution system, we are not yet able to sell connections down there. We have aging pipe, and it's too small for continued use according to our previous master plan. Obviously, for a couple of $1 million, they told us we could put through enough pipe to fix that, but I don't have a couple $1 million, and I don't think you want to give it to me. So we're looking for some cheaper fixes. There's some bottlenecks in some areas in the lower end of the distribution system that we think we can fix for significantly less than that, and able to open up selling some connections on that south end of the system. Along with that, when we put in our 2014 pipeline project, we increased the pipe size in most areas from, well, we had 12, 10, and 6-inch pipes that were replaced with 14-inch pipe. That obviously greatly affected the pressure in our south end of our system for the positive. But the hydraulic model that we had completed originally is now no longer accurate. When we go and run the models, it needs calibrated, it needs adjusted. Along with this recalibration of the model, we're also looking to do an impact fee assessment as well as a user rate to see if we are adequately charging impact fees for new development, if we need to be raising our impact fee to let new development help pay for the expansion that exists on the south end of the system. We would like to do that to help raise revenue for that, as well as our impact, or as well as our user rates. Obviously, nobody ever wants to raise user rates. Nobody ever thinks that it's a good idea. But if there's another way we can be structuring our user rates, if in line with state standards, if we need to raise those to help generate a little more revenue, we'd like to evaluate this all in the same process.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'll make the motion we approve the grant for the study of $22,500.
Second.
So we have a motion from Councilman Farrell and a second from Mr. Galecki to approve, as requested, a $22,500 grant. Any further discussion to that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you very much.
We're placed on the priority list, so we'll get that on there.
We greatly appreciate it.
Okay, next up. I hope they all move that efficiently. We'll be done in an efficient time frame. Grand County Municipal Building Authority. We'll turn some time over to Gail for the staff review on this project, and then we'll get to know our guests here.
Mr. Chair, can I just say you're doing a great job so far?
Oh, thank you.
You show great promise.
I have chaired a meeting before, just not this meeting, so thank you.
Okay, starting on page 3-2-1, Grand County MBA has an airport runway expansion project. They are requesting $600,000 loan at 20 years, 2.5% from CIB. They have $600,000 listed with UDOT and $11,600,000 with the FAA. So one question is the status of those funds. This expansion is to accommodate larger planes. On page 3-2-17, it states this is the first of three phases, and this will enable the 50 and 70-seat aircraft to use the airport. Also, on page 3-2-13, it states the Grand County no longer is determined to be economically distressed, and so their match for the FAA doubled to $600,000. That's why it went up. The applicant is requesting a suspend and fund today due to deadlines they have with their other funding sources.
Okay. Want to introduce yourselves to us?
Absolutely. It's good to be here with you this morning. My name is Curtis Wells. I'm a Grand County Councilman. I'm here representing Grand County.
And I'm Judd Hill, the Airport Director for Canyon Lansfield Airport.
Great. Questions from the board? I can see Commissioner Winterton. He's ready to go here, so we'll turn.
One question that Gail alluded to is the request to suspend and fund. Does that mean that the funding that you have from the FFA is available, or is there a time restraint on that?
It's a matter of a time constraint. What we're looking at is, as he had stated, a three-phase project. That phase is scattered over the next 10 to 15 years, and that will the additional phases will come with projected growth and the amount of larger aircraft using it. Obviously, they're not going to the FAA will not fund a very large airport if we only need a medium-sized airport, and the medium-sized is where we are needing to get to right away. As far as the funds coming, we have a grant submitted to the FAA for their match funding. They operate on the federal fiscal year, and so they anticipate the review and ideal approval of that grant with a finalization date of approximately September 10th to 15th, just to close out by October 1 for the new fiscal year. So that's the need to get the money, a suspended fund request, is to have those funds in place to match the federal grant closing September 15th.
Are the funding from UDOT also in place then?
It is. I actually had a meeting with the director yesterday. And so they have been working very closely. This is one of the highest priorities for UDOT Aeronautics and for UDOT in general, after conversations with some of their executive staff.
Hold on, Mr. Zanotti, and then we'll go back to you, Jay.
Thank you. Well, the two questions already got answered, that the status of the cash or the grants, rather. But I'm just excited that we don't have to fly to Junction anymore, that we can fly directly to Moab and take care of the business and bring all the economy to the state of Utah. And I'm aware of the situation. We have discussed this matter in the UDOT, and I think the suspending fund will be appropriate today.
Thank you.
My question was, is understanding that the match money is needed to secure the grants, but when would construction start? What is the plan for the build-out?
We actually had a pre-bid meeting with potential contractors on Tuesday. We want to minimize the impact on the local businesses, and so that would be the best time to do construction is middle of summer, and that's the worst time for business. So we're shooting for a construction starting January 1st and finishing up before the season really kicks off in 2018. It's estimated to be approximately a 90 to 120-day construction project that will require a closure of the airport. And so, obviously, the winter's not the best time, but it's better to do it then and minimize the negative impacts associated with the businesses based at the airport. So we are looking staging can occur, obviously, before that, but closure of the airport January 1st.
Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner Adams.
This airport in Moab doesn't just service Grand County. It services San Juan County as well as a regional airport. You can get on that, get on a plane from Moab for $80 and fly to Salt Lake. I know some of you have been to Monticello and you wished you were there more often.
Yes.
Maybe we could hold this meeting down there on occasion. But it's a pretty significant deal for people living down in that area and being remote. We appreciate Naughty. He's got 7 highway construction projects. It's added 2 hours to my drive to Salt Lake. Thank you, Naughty.
You thank me later on.
We're looking so forward to having you complete those projects. But we've never really had real consistent air service that we could depend on. Like Naughty says, a lot of it started going to Grand Junction or Denver. Now we have a direct flight into Salt Lake, and I just think it's going to get busier and busier, and the more people that find out about that air service in San Juan County, I think they're going to start using that more and more. And I am ready to make a motion.
I second that motion.
Okay, well, let's go to the motion. I know we have a comment here, but let's hear your motion, Commissioner Adams.
I would like to move that we approve the application as requested.
I second the motion with that, yes. Okay. Suspend and fund.
Okay, and a suspend and fund for you and maker of the motion. Okay, so Commissioner Adams has motioned to approve the application as requested with a suspend and fund. That's $600,000, 20-year loan at 2.5%, and seconded by Mr. Zanotti. We'll open it up for discussion. We'll turn it over to Mayor Norton.
I just had a question as far as, I know we're in the process of doing something with our airport as well.
Absolutely.
With FAA, and I believe we're coming up with our share that FAA is not paying. Did you guys have any money set aside to come up with any part of this? I notice it's grant and loan.
No, this is just loan for what we're requesting
CIG.
From CIG.
I meant through UDOT and FAA.
Correct. So the funds that we've come up with already have been associated with our environmental assessment, which got the closure of it yesterday. We've been working on it for a year and a half. We expect that final letter from the FAA no later than the 11th of this month. In order to protect it, we've also fully funded and finished out a drainage plan so that any future development will be properly drained. The county came up with about $20,000 for that. As far as for this particular grant, we have had money set aside, but what we also are benefited by in Grand County is we do have a vibrant tourism industry, and for the funding, the repayment of this loan, yes, we can utilize Grand County taxpayer money. This loan will be repaid using tourism-derived taxes, so this would be a great benefit, this project, for the citizens of Grand County, and as Mr. Adams stated, all of Southeast Utah. It's even better if we can get our guests visiting us to help cover those expenses. And that's why we would want to utilize a loan at an interest rate from CIB versus just utilizing local taxpayer money.
I appreciate that. I know sometimes those things are included in our packet, but just for the public's information, I think it's nice for them to know what you've put into it so far as well.
Yeah. With this overall project, and we were benefited by the CIB last year for a terminal building that is going to be going out to bid very quickly, and that construction will correspond with the closure of the airport. The county is putting in seven figures into the development over a year and a half, 2 year period.
Great, thank you.
Any further discussion?
I guess I have just one.
Okay, Mr. Galecki first, and then.
And this is more to staff, and it's kind of the common thread in that, you know, in the meeting notes, when they don't mention anything about about a loan, about a rate, about terms, is that adequate in their public notes?
You mean in the public hearing minutes?
Yes.
We stress that and discuss with applicants and try what we can to have those discussions take place, as to, especially for grant applications, as to what if the board gives you a loan and where will the payments be made, that type of thing. We try.
In terms of our discussion in our open public meeting, we did discuss specifically the revenue sources as this loan pertains.
Yeah.
Commissioner Ogden.
I had one. I think Jay forgot to catch this. He's usually pretty good at this, but I was wondering why your engineering rates are as high as they are. We usually, that about an average is about 16%, so you probably save yourself a little money on that.
It's the engineering as well as having some design as well, not just, so it's the design and project management. So it's by our engineering firm of record. So it's kind of a composite simplified number.
Okay, and one other comment. I noticed you're looking with the BLM. This has nothing to do with the expansion right now for with the BLM. You've got a clause in here about the expansion and have to get approval from BLM. This particular phase doesn't have anything to do with that, correct?
No, sir. It is that would come with phase two, where we are already in discussions with BLM about the patenting of BLM land to Grand County, so a transfer of about 60 acres.
It's not actually for construction. It's for safety. Specifically, planes are designed to take off and land on runways. Airports are designed not just around a runway, but the surrounding area for safety's sake. And the work with the BLM is to expand that safety area, so it's not actually for construction. It's just the acquisition of the safety areas.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Mattson.
I think it bears mentioning that they've got the memo on the loan and the interest rates, so I think that's very attractive. And we need to encourage that as much as possible.
Yes. Any further discussion? So the motion on the table is to approve a $600,000 20-year at 2.5% loan, suspend and fund. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you very
motion
much.
Motion passes. You're ready to go. As soon as the paperwork's completed. Okay, next project on the table, Grand County, and we'll invite them to come up and turn the time over to Gail for the staff briefing on this project.
Grand County on page 3-3-1. This is for the Jackson Street Drainage Project. This project is part of the county's adopted storm drain master plan. Their request to CIB is for $241,376 grant with applicant cash of $241,376. One question is the possibility of a loan. If they have impact fees that would help with that repayment. And also the applicant is Grand County, so if this is a grant to Grand County, it's the question of if PILT would be affected. And then just the comment on engineering fees are rather high.
Can you introduce yourselves for us?
I'm Glenn Arthur. I'm the Assistant Road Supervisor for the Grand County Road Department, representing Bill Jackson. He has the day off today, so I'm taking his place.
Dave Dillman with Horrocks Engineers. I'm the County Engineer of Record.
And again, Curtis Wells, Grand County Council.
Back again. Okay. All right. We've had the staff briefing. Any clarifying questions? Comments from the board? Commissioner Potter.
I got to make up for the last one, but let's talk about engineering fees at 42%. I understand the airport one because we've gone through that process, but I don't understand 42% in engineering fees.
We included in the engineering fees. This is a high, we've been in discussions with Dam Safety. It's a high hazard dam, so there's going to be quite a bit of oversight on it and environmental clearance with BLM, who's also working on that. And that also includes all the construction management and testing for that dam to be built.
So do you have a dam permit yet?
No, not yet. Just waiting to get funding all in place and scheduled with the geotech investigation already. We just barely received clearance from BLM to be able to do that work.
When would the projected dates then be as far as the work beginning and the length of that, because you're talking about a very lengthy process.
The biggest holdup will be with clearance from BLM, for environmental, and as soon as we can get that done and through dam safety permitting, we would like to be able to build this in the next spring, but that's pretty aggressive. If BLM has initiated the environmental process, but it's been taking them about a year to finish that.
Thank you. I know you have plenty of experience with BLM, so you'll recognize where those questions come from. So,
the BLM has issued a right-of-way for us to put this dam in the location we want to. And it also is affected by Rocky Mountain Power, their power lines, and we have got an approved encroachment permit from them for this project also.
That's all I had. Thank you.
Mr. Galecki.
I've got a couple of questions. So is this in a subdivision?
It's actually on BLM land. It's right above.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about Jackson Street and the part of the town that it's protecting.
Yeah, there's homes that are right directly below where this site would be that have been impacted multiple times from events and flooding that occurred.
And as a department, where I'm going with it is that if it's been a known, you know, wash and stuff, that, you know, is the developer, was there a developer there, and are they, you know, footing part of the bill?
It's just in an area that has built up over time. It's not in a subdivision proper. It's just been land that has been built on, and existing buildings and structures below this site have had, like I said, they've received significant damage. Events have had debris flow going over Highway 191 multiple times.
So is the... who approves the building permits? Is it the county? Is it, you know, is it within the 100-year floodplain? Where are these?
No, it is not within the 100-year floodplain.
This is the residential development is dating back to 1950s, 1960s. So this is old Moab. In addition to the residential neighborhoods, this is a highway frontage. State Highway 191 receives a negative effects of the drainage, as well as a significant amount of commercial activity and property as well.
Has this been on the capital improvement list?
Yes.
Can you explain the NRCS restrictions as far as not being able to get funding from NRCS?
We investigated trying to get some funding from NRCS through a few of their different programs, and it did not qualify for erosion control under their current guidelines.
I'd like to, I'll make a motion.
We have a few comments, so maybe let's take a few more comments from board members here. Mr. Zanotti.
I was just saying to Mr. Curtis, you did a wonderful job on the airport project, borrowing the money. I think you should consider the same here, that rather than getting the grant for this project, consider borrowing it at 30, 20 years at 2.5%, because you have certain elements of uncertainty and the delayed BLM and environmental studies. So I think that is the consideration this morning.
Seeing some head nods. Is there any further discussion, or is somebody ready to make a motion?
You know, to that question, could we ask them to kind of qualify their capability and being able to do the loan?
You want to speak to your ability to take a loan on this?
Yeah, let me defer to my county clerk here. Do you want to speak to this?
You need to come to the mic so it gets recorded on the meeting and introduce yourself, please.
Clerk Auditor, and the council at the time we approved the application for CIB did not identify a revenue source for the repayment. That's something maybe we could reconsider, but we have not done that at this time.
So I make a motion with that consideration, so the council come back if they would like. But for now, it will be $241,376 to be 30 years mortgage at 30 years loan, 2.5%. If you want to take it back.
I'd second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion on the table from Mr. Zanotti to take a $241,376 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. And a second from Commissioner Ogden. Is there further discussion to the motion? Commissioner Adams.
I'd just like to remind the board and being consistent with what we've done with other applicants, this applicant is putting up $241,000 in cash. You know, most of the time we ask applicants to either come in for half grant and half loan. In my opinion, this is the same kind of thing. They're not asking for a loan, but they're putting up the same amount in cash, which is the same as a loan, in my opinion. So I think they're legitimate in asking for a grant for $241,000 if they're already putting in $241,000 of their own cash. So I'd like to amend the motion that we amend the motion for Mr. Zanotti. And
you know, there's a motion and a second. So
well,
if you want to offer
a substitute motion.
Thank you.
Make a substitute motion that we grant the applicant what they've requested and give them $241,346 in a grant.
I'll second that. So a substitute motion, I think it's $241,376 in grant as requested, and a second from Commissioner Winterton. That motion was made by Commissioner Adams. Any further discussion to the substitute motion? So let's vote on the substitute motion of a $241,376 grant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, let's do it. We got four opposed, and we had how many ayes? Raise your hand if you were for the motion. We have five. Five to four. Is that right?
No, five was a five.
Is anybody abstaining? Show me the nays again. Sorry.
You get to vote, Chairman.
One, two, three, four, five. We have five nays. Okay, thank you. That helps add it up in my mind. And I will vote against the motion. So that the substitute motion fails. So we have back before us the original motion, and I'm told that for a loan we need to round it up to $242,000, up to the nearest thousand. Is that an acceptable amendment to Mr. Zanotti's motion? And Commissioner Ogden, is that sufficient?
Yes.
So the original motion before us, as amended, is a $242,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. Let's take a vote on that motion. All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
We have 5-4 and against.
I think you said that wrong. What did you make the motion?
The original. This is the original motion as amended, $242,000 loan, 30 years at 2.5%. Okay. So in favor of the motion, we had five. We had Mr. Galecki, Commissioner Ogden, Councilman Farrell, Mr. Zanotti, and Treasurer Dampson. And opposing the motion, Mayor Norton. This is kind of a one-sided the room deal, at least. Mayor Norton, Commissioner Mattson, Commissioner Winterton,
over there?
Commissioner Potter, and Commissioner Adams. So 5-5 on that. I'm going to vote in favor of the motion. If that motion passes, that will be up to you to go back to your constituency and discuss the terms of that loan and a revenue source, and we'll place it on the priority list for consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to Escalante City.
Actually, it's Escalante.
Escalante.
Lant.
Escalante.
Lant. Okay. I appreciate it. I can always count on Commissioner Mattson in his area to make sure we know what we're doing here. We'll turn the time over to Gail. Looks like we have a full contingency coming up, so we'll turn the time over to Gail for staff briefing, and then we'll have you introduce yourselves.
Okay, starting on page 3-4-1, this project is for a new senior citizens multi-purpose center. In addition to the senior citizen services, it's Meals on Wheels, Care and Share, an emergency food pantry, and community events. The request to CIB is a grant for $600,000 and a loan of $260,000 for 30 years at 1%. They show in-kind of $90,000, cash from the county of $300,000, local in-kind is $20,000, and USDA for $50,000. Also included in this is the demolition of old buildings, and the location will be at the existing Care and Share and old fire station site. So one question we have is the status of the other funds, and then if they are able to take more in loan, maybe a 50-50 match or more loan funds.
So why don't you introduce yourselves, and then we'll get started.
I'm Melanie Torgerson. I'm the mayor of Escalante City. It's a privilege to be here. A little overwhelming, but very much a privilege. I'd like to do just a brief introduction. I have Louise Barnes. She's our council member over Parks and Buildings of Escalante City. Our city recorder, Stephanie Steed and Kendrick with Jones and DeMille Engineering. And then we also have Jerry Taylor, our county commissioner. Great supporter right here behind us. So I'd like to just turn a minute or two over to Louise Barnes, our council member, to kind of briefly explain our project.
Good morning. Our existing senior center and emergency food pantry are housed in two separate buildings, which were built in the 1930s. They've reached their structural lifespan. We have several problems with the buildings, flooding, the roof is caving in. These are old buildings. The current community center is housing the senior center down in the basement. It's small, it's inadequate, it needs to move to a larger structure. Our population in Escalante is changing to a more of a retirement community. The county declared a state of emergency for the Escalante as our school enrollment has dropped. Families aren't moving to Escalante like they were. There aren't the economic opportunities that there once were there. So more retirees are moving into the area. We're going to have to accommodate these retirees and people who are soon to be retirees. We have an aging population, so we need a larger structure for that. Our emergency food pantry services the east part of Garfield County from Cannonville all the way to Tickaboo. So we have a lot of people to cover, over 100 families in that area. And we're asking for the 70-30 grant loan due to our lack of ability to raise funds from taxes, as this is an economically depressed area.
Let's go to questions from the board. We'll go to Mr. Galecki. A
couple of them. Is any money generated from the Meals on Wheels and care and share programs, whether either federal or from the other towns?
We get a little bit of money from, well, actually the county subsidizes our programs. Garfield County, they're the ones that take care of the financial end of our programs. We do get small amounts of money, CSBG, but as you well know, that's allocated for certain things. So as far as Escalante City, no.
So there's no money that comes in from either the county or other places to help fund those projects?
Yes. The county funds those projects. It's a county-run program.
Okay, to what degree is that funded? Do you have any idea?
Right. I don't know the percentage as far as with grants that we do get, but.
As far as future O&M on that, is that operation and maintenance is the city?
Garfield County.
And then the ones that are being demolished, are they over 50 years old?
Yes, they are.
Have they been checked out for SHPO and such?
We've been in contact with SHPO, and we're going to be doing a mitigation procedure that they prescribe.
Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor, would you please explain the sources of those cash, in-kind, and local, county, public, and USDA? Are they available already and in place, or are you still waiting for it to be approved?
They're available and in place, except for the rural development. We're working on that grant right now.
And what is the timeline on that?
They expect a decision on the funding for that in October.
That's the commitment.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll freely
Matson.
I'll freely admit that I have a bias, and I'm in real support for this program, having been in Escalante and Escalante both over the years.
Good.
And know the situation and an aging population and a full reduction in natural resource development. So there's a complete change that has taken place in those kind of areas. So as a result, I think we need to be dealing with the situation here as well as other places as best we can to help support these. So I will make a motion that we approve the application as presented.
Second with a comment.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table, and we'll get to your comment in just a second. Motion on the table from Commissioner Mattson to approve the application as submitted, which is a $600,000 grant and a $260,000 30-year loan at 1%. And a second by Commissioner Adams, and he's ready to make a comment.
I'd like to remind the board members that every one of you except the mayor over here is getting closer and closer to these kind of programs. And if you don't want to be quoted in the Salt Lake Tribune as being against senior citizens, I would recommend you vote for this motion.
Okay, further discussion of the motion, Treasurer Damson.
I just had a question for Commissioner Mattson. How do you like Meals on Wheels?
I've actually, taken the driver's test for that, so I might be able to help out as a volunteer.
Let's go to Commissioner Potter.
following up on Commissioner Adams's comment, I guess the thing that as we talk about, things that have happened in the past and the future, what kind of loss have you had in your city and in your county because of the Grand Staircase National Monument?
We've seen, when the sawmill closed, we saw a lot of families leave town. Our schools had a much higher enrollment due to lawsuits brought by individuals when logging has been proposed in lots up in the forest. Lawsuits have tied those things up. The Grand Staircase Monument generates some money in tourism. That can't be denied. But having a more viable community with access to some of the natural resources that are now tied up by the monument, coal in particular, that would allow more families to come back to our area. Retirement communities are great, but we need those young people to make it a vibrant society.
And I think that that's the part that I find is not reported ever correctly, is that one of the largest resources of coal, and yes, we are a coal producer in Carbon County, but to have those kind of resources tied up that damage communities like yours and the others that surround it, that never gets reported on. It's always that it's positive and it's an upbeat. You're on a negative downside as far as what I can tell and observe in your economies. So just wanted that for the record also.
Thank you. Mr. Galecki.
This may not be popular, but I'm going to make a substitute motion. One, as Mr. Adams said, I see that approaching. It's completely in support of the project. But my substitute motion is going to be a 50% loan, 50% grant, 30 years at 1%. One of the reasons I say that is that if you look at it, they're retiring almost $70,000 in debt in the next couple of years. So I think there's some affordability there, and that I'd even say to defer it for 2 years so to lessen that impact. But based on numbers, I think they can do a 50% loan, 50 grant at 30 years at 1%, and deferring payments for 2 years.
Okay. So motion on the table, as stated by Mr. Galecki, $430,000 grant, $430,000 loan, 30 years, 1%, with a 2-year deferral on payments. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Is that a substitute? That is a substitute motion, yes. And there's a second from Mayor Norton. Further discussion to that motion. Treasurer Danchin.
Well, I was going to offer an amendment to Mr. Galecki's motion to make him slightly less unpopular. 0% interest rate, 30-year term. So as recommended with a 0% interest rate.
So that the 1% as recommended by Mr. Galecki would put the payment at $16,662. And at 0% would be $14,333, and as the original motion would be a $10,075 payment. Those are the differences in annual payments. So there's an amendment suggested. Mr. Galecki, is that under consideration?
Yes.
Yes, and is that agreeable to the second as well? So the amended substitute motion would put it at a $430,000 grant, $430,000 30-year loan at 0% 2-year deferral. Any further discussion to that substitute motion? Yes, Mr. Roberts.
One comment with regard to the issue raised by Mr. Galecki concerning the historic buildings. You do have a duty to take into account the impact of your decisions upon historic resources. So this should be contingent upon the SHPO indicating that it is either without adverse effect or the mitigation is sufficient, and you can adopt that mitigation as an appropriate response to the destruction of resources.
Is that added into your motion?
Sure.
Yes, SHPO authorization. Okay, we'll just classify it as that. Mayor Norton as well.
What he said.
Okay, any further discussion of the substitute motion? So the motion before us, the substitute motion, is $430,000 grant, $430,000 loan, 30 years, 0%, 2-year deferral, contingent on SHPO sign-off. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Raise your hands, please. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Any opposed? 3 opposed. Okay. That motion carries. So we will put that on the priority list, $430,000 grant, $430,000 loan at 0%, 2-year deferral. Your payment should be $14,333 as opposed to $10,075. So we can discuss at the funding meeting further on your thoughts there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're humming right along here. Okay, let's at least get through one, maybe two more projects before a break here. So Beaver County Fire District number 2, and we'll invite you up and turn the time over to Gail for a summary of this project.
Okay, Beaver County Fire District, page 3-5-1. This project is for 2 wildland brush trucks. The applicant isn't putting any cash, but they are requesting grant and loan, a grant of $178,000, a loan of $166,000, 20 years at 2.5%. I have a note here about the repayment on that. If it is with mineral lease funds, it can only be 15 years, which I'm not sure if that's what the source is, but just asking. Another question is if they have a replacement fund. In the minutes, it's stated that the applicant would request 50-50, which isn't a huge difference, but that would be $172,000 for grant and loan. This project is for fire protection from the western Beaver County to the Nevada border.
It's a big area. Why don't you introduce yourself, and maybe you can address those initial questions from staff.
I'm Nolan Davis. I'll take my mayor hat off today and put my deputy chief hat on. My fire chief, Les Whitney, apologizes for not being here. He had triple bypass surgery yesterday, and so I was really not planning on being up here until 9 o'clock last night. So I apologize. I hope I can answer all the questions. We entered into agreement with the Division of Forestry and BLM as first responders to the new insurance program that's through the state. Part of that is having the ability to respond with the proper equipment. Right now in Milford and Minersville, we only have one brush truck apiece that can respond to wildland fires. You can see in the pictures that they're pretty dilapidated, outdated. They're 1980s. They can't haul all the equipment that we need. A good example of why we couldn't respond lately is on the Bryan Head fire, where we was 50 minutes away. We could not support that fire because we only had one truck in Minersville and one truck in Milford. And by moving them trucks to Bryan Head, that we wouldn't have a brush truck in Milford or Minersville, so we couldn't support them. The only thing we was able to do is send an engine for structure support. So that's one of the biggest reasons we've tried to come to the board to see if we can get approval to buy two brand new fire trucks, wildland fire trucks type 3. We've never bought a new fire truck in Minersville or Milford in 40 years. We've always bought used. Over the last 3 years, we've actually spent a total of $295,000 out of our own budget to buy five engines to support our community. We've actually bought them from Hamilton, New Jersey, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Bel Air, Maryland, where we bought two sister trucks, and Palm Harbor, Florida, and at a cost of $6,500 a piece to ship each one. So we spent a lot of money on equipment, but we kind of were caught off guard when we entered into this new program with the Division of Forestry and the BLM by having the proper equipment. So that's the reason appearing before the board. And like I said, I wish I could answer all the questions. I really wasn't even involved in part of this application process because my job as the deputy chief is just strictly over structure fires. I do not respond on wildland fires as the fire chief and the assistant chief that couldn't be here does. So if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
You'll do your best to answer. Okay. Board.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Chief and Mayor, thank you for being here. I was part of that watching Bryan Head fire. I also was the witness of the Pine Valley fire last year that it lasted about a month and a half. And Beaver had a fire just last month in conjunction with the Bryan Head. Last night driving here, I saw about 15 different fires that's been just put out in the last 2 weeks. Brush fire, road fire, the hill fires. And I think we need I think the Eastern County, part of the county, the state has a challenge with the monument designation. We have challenges with the fires. And the fires in this time of year is very important. We need to make sure that they're taken care of. So I make a motion that by correction of the gale, we approve this application, 15 years mortgage of the loan, 2.5%, either half and half or just the way they present it.
Second.
Okay. I think you need to choose one or the other. Half and half or the way
they it's presented? They also say that in the application they have a half and half, but whatever they would like to do.
Well, just in the minutes it stated 50-50. That's
and we explained, Mr. Chairman, this is the application where when they did the application, they didn't, they based it off of their cost estimate for the trucks and forgot their admin, so we had to add the admin to close the loan.
Oh, okay. All right. So it really is 50-50 with an add-in for admin, basically. Okay. So
definitely 15 years at 2.5%.
So as presented on the application, you would want it a $166,000 15-year, 2.5% loan, and a $178,000 grant.
That's correct.
That is the motion on the table. Is there a second to that motion? And a second from Commissioner Mattson. Any further discussion?
I'd like to make a comment.
Mr. Galecki.
One is that my daughter's a firefighter, so and I watched the fires and really appreciate your service and understand the need. But and this is kind of a staff thing that I brought up, Gail, is that, you know, we don't have a good sense of their affordability. It's kind of like Chief said that, you know, they spent almost $300,000 recently on other trucks. So I'm wondering if in the application process, if we have some other sense, we don't really get a sense of affordability, you know, of whether they can take more loan or not. So I don't know if we can modify the application anyway in the future. Does that make sense?
yes, we'll work on that and
okay, thanks.
Report back.
Yes, Mayor Norton.
I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but where you said you entered into the agreement with the forestry and the BLM, have you had any discussions with them if they're willing to help with any of this equipment?
Well, that's the problem. We got the equipment. We do get them are like them pictures of that old deuce and a half you've seen, and then we actually got four more sitting in our back lot that we have to completely renovate. Two of them are actually old fuel trucks that they want us to try to renovate and turn into tankers with pumps on them, but they're real dangerous to drive, and they recommend we not drive them anymore. So that was one of the other reasons why we pursued the two new Type 3 trucks we have.
Yes, Commissioner Potter.
I have a substitute motion. I'd propose that we make it all a loan, 15-year at 2.5%.
So a substitute motion on the table to issue a $344,000 loan, 15 years at 2.5%.
Correct.
That's the substitute motion on the table. Is there a second to that motion? A second from Commissioner Winterton. Further discussion to the substitute motion.
Could I ask if you would address the financial capabilities of your organization in this light? That would what, double it to what monthly rate?
That would be
so 100% loan,
$22,000 a year.
Yeah, $22,067, and the annual payment of the original request would be $10,648. So it's a
doubling.
Yes, yeah. More than doubling. Is that is the question of the applicant is, you know, what your capacity is to...
Without sitting down, you know, with the board, just in my opinion, that would be pretty tough to handle right now. We've actually, you know, finished up with our project of our brand new firehouse in Minersville, and we actually had to come up with another almost $50,000 on that because of the cost of the subs that were on the job. It's almost impossible right now to get construction people to do the work, and when they do, they just want an astronomical price right now. So we're pretty limited right now moving forward for the next probably 10 to 15 years. We don't want to raise taxes, and the reason being is the railroad wants to pull 45 jobs out of Milford. UPS is actually pulling 28 jobs out of the Milford Beaver area right now, so it's going to be quite an impact on our area over the next few years. So,
further discussion to the substitute motion.
Mr. Chair, I think there may have been a misstatement on the payments. Was the motion for 15 years or 20?
15.
So for 15 years, the payment would be $27,784, not
$22,000. I did look at the 20-year loan line.
Yeah.
Yes, and the original motion was $13,407 because it was also a 15-year. So those both get modified. So still a doubling, but just different numbers on the doubling. Thank you for that clarification, Treasurer Dampson. Further discussion to the substitute motion? Okay, the substitute motion before us is a 100% loan for $344,000, 15 years, 2.5%. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Raise your hands, please. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Any opposed to that motion? Got 5 opposed. I must have miscounted here on the eyes. Show your hands again. 1, 2, 3. Somebody must have had 2 hands up. So 5-5. I am going to vote in favor of the substitute motion, knowing that we can put on a priority list and have some further discussion kind of on the specifics when we get to that. So the substitute motion passes, which is 100% loan, $344,000, 15 years, at 2.5% and is placed on the priority list, and we can have some further discussion. You can go back and discuss it with your constituency, and we can have some further dialogue on your capabilities of delivering on that.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Town of Manila. We'll invite you up and turn some time over to Gail to give us a project description and summary.
Town of Manila, water improvements, including some emergency funding. This is on page 3-6-1. The application has an applicant cash of $50,000, a grant request of $945,000, and loan of $946,000, 30 years at 0%. Manila's had water issues for 30 years. They have an aging system and weekend visitors and new leaks each week. The Division of Drinking Water is aware, and the system is 40-year-old pipes. In their public hearing minutes, there isn't discussion of financing. This is the project that had a $100,000 emergency that they were going to come in for, and then it was combined into the original application, which is where we're at today. And they are requesting a suspend and fund.
Thank you. Want to introduce yourselves for us? I know we have drinking water as well here to answer questions for the board.
Hey, my name is Gretchen Northcott, and I'm the mayor of Manila.
And I'm Aaron Ebert with Sunrise Engineering.
Great, thank you. Questions from the board? Everybody's got questions. Who's going to be the first to ask? Mr. Galecki.
I guess. I have a few. The first one, and have you already gone to water quality as far as a loan situation?
We've had some multiple discussions with the Division of Drinking Water.
Okay.
And if it's okay, if I could defer this question to Lisa Nelson.
Because I actually have a few questions for Lisa.
Will you come up to the mic, sorry, and then state your name for the record? We'll tell the railroads that they can't operate right now because it's causing problems.
Lisa Nelson, Division of Drinking Water and staff at CID. So at the retreat, there was some discussion of routing many of these projects to the Drinking Water Board first. Since then, we've met with CID staff and discussed some of the potential unintended consequences with this project in particular being an example of drinking water potentially getting the interest-bearing loans and then the grant component coming to CIB, which would not really be fair to CIB. So Manila was guided to not go to drinking water for this one.
Okay, the next question is that they're looking at the financial summary, the with the current application, if we went in as proposed, their water rate would actually go down? Is it,
no, we haven't discussed water rates going down.
Not going down, but it looks like if the applicant's current proposal is accepted, resulting water will be $41.26 per connection, and the average bill for this system is 44. Can you explain that? That's probably a Lisa question.
Yes, when we do the calculation, they're charging what they charge now. That would be what the minimum they would have to charge in order to service the debt. But the fact that they're already charging means that
they
wouldn't have to raise rates in order to incur this debt. But the other scenarios may put them in a position where they would need to.
Another question.
Okay.
So you mentioned in the notes that there's income from visitors. What's that?
Tourism.
probably took it out of context, so you're not exactly sure in the where it's at. Well, I guess that's okay. I'll withdraw that question.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner Potter.
For drinking water, what is the current lending rate that you're using right now?
I'm sorry.
What is your current lending rate through drinking water? The current lending rate?
Loan rates. We based it on the RBBI, and then, which I believe is in the 3% range, and then based on a number of rankings and factors we usually deduct from there. So we're at about 2.5%, between 2.5 and 3% at the moment for non-disadvantaged communities.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor, could you take the CIB loan of 30 years at 2.5%? Have you talked to your council about that possibility?
A 30-year loan at 2.5%, what would be the split?
Well, that rather than have a 0%, it would be 2.5%.
With a 50-50?
Uh-huh.
Yes. We prepared a little worksheet, and we could do that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, that's a possibility. You want
well,
to make...
Mr. Galecki?
Since you have your rate sheet out, can you do a 75% loan, 25% grant at 1.5%?
No, I can't.
Is that because it's not on your list or because you know you can't afford it?
It puts me over our threshold of pain. So even if we raise rates, it's really difficult for our area. And I just want to point this out that, you know, Manila, you know, we could raise rates. We're looking at that. We're looking at our, you know, our self-participation. Our area is actually really economically depressed right now. If you come into the town of Manila, you would see that we're pretty much on the edge of poverty. Our roads are unpaved. Our jail has closed. 90% of the people live in trailers, whether it's a single-wide trailer or a double-wide. Most people have 1 to 3 jobs. You know, most people I know are cashiers, waitresses. I know a few school teachers. We're not really a thriving community, so we've had a lot of discussions. This is a really important meeting for us. We need some funding, and we need some help. And so we kind of discussed kind of where we could be for our max. I don't know if that helps answer that question, but that would be too high for us at the current.
Mayor, you may want to, there is a project coming in next month from Manila as well for sewer, but the reason this one's on this agenda, not in conjunction with the others, is that you have a $100,000 immediate problem that needs to be addressed through a suspend and fund. Is that correct?
Actually, I think it's a $700,000.
A $700,000 problem.
Yeah, I have a $700,000 problem. I have a water line that's an older part of the system, and in the last 3 to 4 months, we've had, going out of town, I counted 3 more leaks as the water's coming up the road. We have about 18 water breaks in the last 4 months.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
My heart goes for the Daggett County, and the mayor is trying so hard to do something for her constituents and her citizens. So I suggest we approve application, 30 years loan at 2.5%, with the remaining of the term the same. Stay the same.
So a motion on the table for a $946,000 30-year loan at 2.5% and a $945,000 grant. Is that a suspend and fund also?
As requested.
That is a motion on the table.
Second.
And a second from Councilman Farrell. Any further discussion to that motion? Yes, Mayor Norton.
It's not really discussion. I guess it's a question again. I see this coming up quite often as far as future planning. Can you address what you've done in the past to address, you knew these lines were getting aged and older? Did you have a plan? Did you put money away? I mean, what was your plan for this system?
Yeah, and maybe this kind of goes back to Greg's question as well, too, because part of the, if you look at those numbers, too, you can see that the town is, if you look deep into the numbers, you can see the town is charging more than what they would to have to take on this loan. So the town is trying to be proactive. We did a study in 2014 for them that kind of identified that this was going to be a problem that comes up, and so they started setting aside money for that. We were hoping that it could last another 10 years and that we could have money set aside, and that's what we've suggested to Manila. And so they have been proactive to try to set that aside. They're not there yet. It was going to be 10 years before you could save up and do this themselves. So now when this came up quicker than later, that's why it's here. So
this $50,000 applicant cash, is that part of this savings or what they've been doing? Okay. Thank you.
Further questions or discussion to that motion? Seeing none, motion on the table, $946,000, 30-year, 2.5% loan, and a $945,000 grant with suspend and fund. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes unanimously. You're good to go.
Thank you. I can't tell you enough. Thank you.
Jonathan, that wasn't a suspend and fund, or was it?
It was a suspend and fund. You guys got energy for one more before a break? Okay. Town of Rockville, come on up. And we'll turn the time over to Gail for a quick summary on this one.
Okay, Town of Rockville, Rockville Roads Maintenance. This is page 3-7-1. This project, they are the gateway to Zions Park. On 3-7-9 mentions they're committed to catching up and sustaining ongoing maintenance. The application shows 20,000 applicant cash and 60,000 grant, but we were notified at the start of the meeting that they are willing to modify this and put more money into the project and adjust their request. So they will address that and then maybe talk a little about the maintenance plan.
Great. Why don't you introduce yourselves, and we're excited to hear about your modified request.
Yes, I am Pam Leach, the mayor of the town of Rockville, and this is Rod Mills, our town engineer. And yes, thank you for hearing our application. In light of our understanding that the commission is trying to keep funds in your source of funding and rolling it over, we revisited our budget. We have found that we are actually able to come up with $40,000 to match a loan or a grant. Grant is our preference if possible. To do this work on our roads. As you understand, we're a small town that's impacted greatly by the tourism trade that comes through to Zion National Park. We've benefited recently from UDOT's doing work on SR9 through our town. We are in the process of rehabbing our historic bridge, which is scheduled currently to begin work in April of next year. We are hopeful that with this funding, we can bring the rest of our paved roads up to good condition to help the visitors to our town and our residents reach some of our sightseeing areas. So I hope with this additional funds that we have available that you will look more favorably on matching that with a grant of $40,000. If you have other questions for me, I'd be happy to answer.
All right. We'll just clarify again. You've modified your application. $40,000, you're putting in cash. $40,000 grant you're requesting from this board.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Board members, questions, discussion, or motions?
Probably that same question that's been asked as far as going forward then. Do you have a fund set aside? Have you got the ability to maintain them going into the future?
Yes, we have. With Rod's help, we have set up a program that we can have an ongoing maintenance. With this $40,000 that we're committing now, we have still left some funds in our BNC road funds so that we could handle additional work as we go along. We're not stripping ourselves of all monies at this time. We have limited funds. We try to be very careful with our budget, and so that we can do the work we need to do. We have already done the crack seal on our roads. We did that in February of this year using funds we had. So that is in preparation of doing the chip seal work.
Thank you. The other question, or not question, but more of a comment, Mr. Chairman, is that I'm not anti-tourism by any means, and it's interesting that the impact that comes from the surrounding areas when we have any type of a visitor venue that comes in. I know it's not a good suggestion. It would never work probably in your scenario, but it ought to be a toll road. You ought to extract your pound of flesh as they go through.
Believe me, that discussion has happened in the past.
Further questions, comments? Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
I'm pretty sure every one of you in this setting has gone through the town of Rockville, because it is just that the Bedouin community, glory goes to Springdale, the headache and pain goes to Mayor Leach and the rest of the community. As by way of UDOT, we have tried to help them. We have tried to help their roads widen the shoulders. We've helped them with their bridge they're talking about, the historical bridge. The town itself is historical town. The only thing that they can show off, of course, is the cemetery and that bridge, which is under construction and renovation. Unfortunately, no income. And I know I've talked to Rod, talked to Mayor Leach. They need that money to get the road, not just for themselves, for the tourists like us to go through to get to the Zion National Park.
I'd like to make comment is that, Mayor, you had wonderful notes, meeting notes. I guess that's one of my pet peeves, but you covered it well.
Well, with that, I'll make a motion to approve the application as revised. $40,000 for applicant cash, $40,000 grand, please.
Okay, motion on the table to approve the revised request, $40,000 applicant cash, $40,000 grant.
Second.
And a second from Treasurer Danchman. That motion was made by Mr. Zanotti and seconded by Treasurer Danchman. Any further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Well, you'll be placed on the priority list and discussed at the funding meeting in October.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
Thank you. Okay, let's take an approximate 10-minute break. Looks like 10:10 is probably a good time to reconvene, and we'll get going back on our projects at that time. Okay, we'll bring the meeting back to order, and we'll invite our next applicant, Rockville Springdale Fire Protection District, up to the table. There is on your notes that you have, it is correct, is a 20-year request. I think in the original application it was 15 years. Is that correct, staff?
Yes.
Okay, so just a note that the request is actually for a 20-year loan. We'll turn some time over to Gail to describe a staff summary on the project, and then we'll meet our guests.
It is for a Rockville Springdale on page 3-8-1 for a new fire pumper truck. And as mentioned, the term of the loan is 20 years. The applicant has $105,000, and just the question of what's the status of that. And then the request to CIB is $205,000 grant, $200,000 loan, 20 years at 2.5%.
Thank you. Want to introduce yourself for the record?
Thank you. Thank you for reading over our application and putting us on the agenda today. I am Lucy Francis. I'm the chair for the Rockville Springdale Fire Protection District.
Okay, big responsibility. Well, we have a group of interested people up here who probably want to ask questions or have some discussion on this particular project. I see head nods, but no raised hands. Okay, I saw a half-raised hand from Mr. Galecki, so we'll turn some moments over to him.
A couple of things.
first comment.
Can you pull your mic down, Greg? Sorry.
A couple of comments. First, great public meeting notes. I like the details on it. The second is you speak about standby fees. Is that around $56,000 a year?
It's more like $450,000 annual standby fees. Those are the fire protection or emergency services fees that we charge back to our property owners in the district, which is comprised of Rockville and Springvale.
And then you mentioned the project reserve account. How do I ask this? How much balance do you normally hold in your project reserve account?
Well, right now in our equipment and apparatus reserve, we have held aside $200,000 for specifically for fire equipment. And we have other reserves which we vote as a board as to where those are surplus. If we have a year-end surplus, we vote as a board as to which of our reserve funds those monies will go to. We have continuity of operations, which is for staff wages, of course, our apparatus equipment, both for fire and EMS. And then we have created a facilities fund as well recently to help with the maintenance of our aging firehouse as well. And the $100,000, $105,000 that we're putting up for the purchase of the Pierce pumper is coming from that fire equipment fund.
I'm sorry, from which fund?
The fire equipment apparatus fire equipment fund. Yes. We're putting up half of that total balance.
Other questions? Treasurer Damson.
If we could, Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the application as submitted.
Second on the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Treasurer Danson has made the motion. A $200,000 20-year loan at 2.5% and a $205,000 grant with a second from Mr. Zanotti. Any further discussion to that motion?
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. Lucy, thank you for the beautiful minutes, and thank Megan for us. It is just beautifully designed and prepared and written. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I guess that's the key to future applications. Quality minutes.
Noted.
Any further discussion to that motion? So again, that motion is $200,000 20-year loan at 2.5% and a $205,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One opposed. Commissioner Winterton opposes. That motion passes. You'll be placed on the priority list to be discussed at the October funding meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You didn't even make me give my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, our next application, Rich County Special Service District. When you come to the table, we'll turn some time over to Gail for the staff summary.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich County Special Service District, page 3-9-1. This project is the Cisco Road improvements. There's no applicant cash. The grant request is for $4,462,000. The loan request is $3,870,000 for 4 years at 0%. One question is, would they be able to take all of this as a 10-year loan at 2.5%? And this project does include a new bike path.
Great, thanks. Can you introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah, I'm Commissioner Bill Cox. I'm one of the commissioners in Rich County. This is Kerry Monroe with Jones in the Mill. He's our project engineer.
Great. Anything you want to add to the description of the project before we open it up for questions?
So this is on the east side of Bear Lake. This is 12 miles of road that was a cold rolled road back in, I think it was finally completed in phases, but the final completion was in 1968. It's a major collector for our county. It's with the amount of traffic and the winters that we have, it's got to have some reconstruction. At this point in time, we get about $500,000 a year in Class B road money. We have a special service district that has mineral lease money. That mineral lease money has continued to drop off. We do have in our mineral lease fund saving towards this project. The special service district has about $700,000, which will be used to match the money. At this point in time, we went to the non-urban committee, and we was awarded $2 million towards this project. We've traded that for state funds to maximize the dollars there, and so we'll have $1.7 million in non-urban money. There's five state parks along this road as well, and so we applied to the State Parks Access for a State Parks Access money. We were awarded $500,000 in 2022, $500,000 in 2021. They have to be matched with 50%. So the total money that's been committed from UDOT between non-urban and State Parks Access is going, with our match, is going to be $3.87 million. The total project is another $4 million. What we would like to, or requesting, is the $8 million, get the project done, pay back $3.8 million when our money is available in 2022 with the interest of, we were asking or requesting for 0% interest on the 3.8. I know it's a big project, something that it's about the only way we can do it. We have looked over every rock, basically. I've been trying to save for, we knew we had to come up with some match money. That was why we really didn't go to non-urban or the state parks until we had match money in hand, so to speak, but we still got another $500,000. Our mineral lease went from about $290,000 a year. We're down now to $194,000 that goes into the special service district, so it's dropped off considerably as well.
So the $3.87 million you're requesting a loan is really just a placeholder for you to get these grants and pay it off.
Correct.
Okay, let's go to the board for questions on this particular project.
Mr.
Zanotti.
I'm going to be the brave one. Commissioner Cox, can you make an arrangement to do just the percentage of the loan from 0 to 2.5 rather than 0? Because I'm sure one of my colleagues is going to tell you that you're not producing county and you're not entitled for this kind of money. So can you manage either take it like Gail suggested to go the whole thing in loan, take it 10 years for the BNC road and do 2.5%, or stay the way it is and go 2.5% 4 years to pay off the loan?
So at this point in time, as far as the loan goes for the 3.8, which would be, we would be able to pay that back in 2022, that would be something we'd have to that would be about, what would that be as far as interest goes? That would be about $100,000 a year interest, is that correct?
Something like that. Do you have that, Mr. Chairman?
Anyone? I don't have that number in front of me, no.
If you look at the revenue sheet that comes to us, they are the number 18 revenue producer, just right under Washington County.
I know.
And while they're figuring that, you mentioned your revenue from minerals. Is that what you meant to say, Commissioner?
Yes.
And tell us that again, because it's not reflected in this material that we have. Your annual mineral revenue that you're bringing into your service district?
Yes, that is, well, it's diminished off this last year as of 2016, it's $190,000 is what comes in. We were as high as $270,000 at one time about 3 years ago, but it's diminished down to $190,000. And that's a special service district, which sole purpose is for our road maintenance.
Yes, Mr. Heaton.
Perhaps you covered this, Commissioner. I apologize if I missed it, but I understand that you'll have cash available in a few years and you'd like to just pay this off. That makes perfect sense to me. But have you considered going to a 10-year term on this?
So, and taking more loan, I think, is the other hidden message in that question.
It would be so presumptuous.
So maybe I could throw this proposal out. If the 4 million we're asking in a grant, if we could have 2 million grant and 2 million loan and the 2 million in a 10-year loan, and if those payments could begin in 2021 after we are able to, we would pay the 2% interest, 2.5% interest up to 2021, and then our loan payment for the 2 million would be, those loan payments would begin after 2021. Does that make sense?
We'll see if it catches on with anybody here.
I guess.
Yes, Mr. Galecki.
And I don't know if that works out. He said, you know, two. I was going to say 75% loan at 10 years at 2.5%. But I didn't think about deferral. So is that similar? I didn't see that. I have to add it up. How to what percentage that is. Because we had those numbers in front of us, 75 to 25.
And maybe that other question is are we talking just the 4 million, Commissioner? If you want to split that way, leave the other one at a 0% for 4 years?
If that's possible.
But split the other, split the grant portion in half then.
Yes. And the reason I ask that is because my match that's going to be required that I've got to pay in 21 and 22 is going to be $1.7 million. I have $800,000 towards that match, and I'm going to need if we have to pay interest on top of that, that's just going to cut my ability to get my match dollars in place by 2022 is what I'm saying. I think we can do it, but it's going to be a little tight, especially if mineral lease continues to drop down.
I'd go ahead and make a motion that the grant portion be split to be half loan, half grant, so the $4,462,000 be split half loan, half grant, 10 years, 2.5% interest, with that deferral until 2021, with the other loan, the $3,870,000 loan, 4 years, 0%. So there'd be two loans in there, and I don't know exactly how that would work with the way that, you know, we structure those. But
one come out of the loan,
yeah.
And you may have to repeat that.
So instead of the grant for $4,462,000, split that into half loan, half grant.
So that would be
$2,231,000
in grant.
$2,231,000 in loan, 10-year, 2.5% deferral till 2021. And then the loan request for the $3,870,000 would stay 4 years at 0%.
Okay. I second that motion.
I would second that motion.
Okay. So I'm going to do my best to restate the motion and go for the second here. So Commissioner Potter has made a motion to approve a $2,231,000 grant, a $2,231,000 10-year loan at 2.5% with deferral till 2021, and a $3,870,000 loan, 4 years at 0%.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. And a second from Mr. Zanotti. Any further discussion to that motion?
Just a question. When does the interest start on that first part of that proposal?
The interest starts.
Yeah. Interest would accrue. It would just, no payments would be,
payment question. Not
yes.
Payment. Okay. Good.
Yes,
that was my same question. I wanted to clarify on deferral. We're talking about deferred payments, not deferred interest.
That's correct.
Interest will accrue right up front, and only the payments are deferred until 2021.
So the commission, are you okay with that?
I am.
Okay.
We're prepared to do that.
Okay. Further discussion to that motion? Okay. I'll restate it one more time for the vote here. Commissioner Ogden.
Have we deferred this before like this? I mean, on this board, is that
something? We have deferred payments before.
This is stretching it a bit more than
yes.
what we
yes.
defer, but we have deferred, yes.
Okay, the motion before us, $2,231,000 grant, $2,231,000 10-year loan at 2.5%, deferred payments deferred to 2021, the year 2021, and a $3,870,000 loan, 4 years at 0%. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. You'll be on the priority list for the funding meeting.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much. Thank you, committee.
Okay, our North Logan City, they have postponed to have their application reviewed. They requested that for next month, so we will review their project next month. On the agenda is a special consideration project. This requires the board's vote to consider. This is Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, Daggett County Master Trails Plan for $100,000 grant. Is there a motion to consider this project?
So moved.
A motion from Commissioner Winterton and a second from Commissioner Mattson to consider this project. Further discussion to that motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. On the agenda here, we'll invite you to come up, Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, to the table. Turn some time over to Gail to describe the project, and then we'll get to questions.
All right. Special consideration on page 4-1-1, Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. The project is the Daggett County Master Trails Plan. They're showing a $100,000 state grant from state parks and requesting $100,000 from CIB. Just some questions we have are why Daggett County isn't the applicant for this and why it's an emergency. Also, how much of the grant will be used for admin. There was a discussion of if the Daggett County, if PILT might somehow be affected by that. And then recently, we became aware of a plan that was done for Daggett County trails in 2013. So will this tie in with that, or are they connected at all? And they are requesting suspend and fund.
All right, thank you, Gail. And introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you for the record, Mike McKee with Seven County Infrastructure Coalition.
Jack Lytle with Daggett County, commissioner, also board member of Seven County.
Okay, and real quick comment from Gail as well.
I forgot to mention the review from the RPGs is in the red folder. It didn't make it into the packet. It's in the red folder.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's. Do you want to add any comments to this project, Mr. McKee?
Thank you. Good morning. I guess maybe to address the first question, one of the things, for whatever reason, in the application, we have indicated that this project is a. The question was why, with Daggett County, this is a Daggett County and tie into Uinta County. Project. This is a multi-county project. So let me just mention this for a minute. In in Uinta County, there was some funding that they were able to get that they were that they're doing is they're doing some planning within the county, but that planning generally has been closer to the inner city and reaching out some, but it wasn't the connections with the outside and with the other areas. The majority of this is a Daggett County master plan, but it does have those connections. As far as the state grant is concerned, we met with Mr. Fred Hayes from State Parks, and one of the things that was important to them, factually, is we were able to obtain the $100,000 of match money from them. He said it made it a lot easier for him as well if this was a multi-county effort. And Aaron Averett from Sunrise Engineering is here as well. We didn't have him come up, but has been involved in some of that planning process that's been going on further south. And so what this does, this becomes a comprehensive plan, tying this together and really focusing on what would happen up in Daggett County. But it has those the connections with the other counties. And as we all know, everything starts with the planning efforts. We have had some discussion, though it's very early at this point because you want to have your plan before you go into construction and those kind of things. But we have had some discussion with Nan Anderson through GOED. And as we were able to put the plan together, you know, as we move forward with additional funding to help with construct and those kind of things. But we have to start with the plan.
May I add to that? The other part of that is also with Moffat County and Sweetwater counties, where we sit bordering those two counties in different states. That isn't mentioned in this, but with their plans, we want to maintain some of that continuity with whatever plans they have in this planning process.
Great. Let's go for questions from the board. Make sure we get those all covered here. We'll go with Mr. Zanotti first and then Treasurer Damshin.
No, Treasurer goes. He had his hand first. Go ahead, please.
Okay. We'll go to the Treasurer Damshin.
I just have two questions. They're related. Why is the manner in which this application has been submitted suggests it's an emergency. What is it that makes this request an emergency? And the second question is, my understanding is every application that has come from the coalition has been submitted in this way. So will we anticipate that the coalition will ever submit an application that's not an emergency? Two questions.
Well, if I might, just real quickly, I believe the pipeline project did not come in as an emergency. I do not believe that did. But, you know, Mr. Damshin, as far as the reasoning and wanting to be able to do this at this time is, as we know, the law indicates that we do not, you know, we do not do the things we do at CIB for mere economic purposes. But many times in the things that we do, there are some economic benefits that do come from that. Jack can speak to this much better than I can, but as you know, Daggett County is going through some very, very difficult times at this time. They're a small county. They've got a little over 1,000 residents. That's been the same, but with the closure of their jail and some hardships that they're facing there, it's very difficult. One of the things in each area, as we are aware, we have the resources that we have. And being the executive director of Seven County Coalition, if you're in Uinta, Duchesne, or Carbon, you've got some minerals that can help out, and that's what you do there. But in Daggett County, recreation is pretty well the main driver of an economy that they have there. And in being able to secure the $100,000 from the state, you know, if the board says we're unwilling to listen to this at this time, then the only recourse would be wait until February. But there's pretty much a season lost, an opportunity to be getting the planning going and to try and being able to get some things on the ground. I think many of you may have seen an article that came out in the Salt Lake Tribune relating to governor and some legislators' concerns and, you know, are the things that could be done, that the state could do, are the things that we could do to help and to help along that line. But I do believe, as far as the public benefit, I don't think there's a question of a public benefit of trails. First of all, the trails by nature, they are on public lands. That is something that the public is served by in being able to do those. So thank you for the question.
Mr. Zanotti.
I'm just going to read what exactly. Do you have the copy of this PG Group report?
Yes and no. I had an early copy. Had an opportunity to meet with RPG staff, and there's some updates that they made that I never did get to see. And in the updates, I think there are some things that have changed. Was there a particular question from?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to read on the right-hand side column under the questions. It says, neither SCIC nor Daggett County has budgeted for or is contributing funds to this plan for a priority project. What kind of answer you can give to that?
Yes, thank you. In fact, I did have an opportunity to visit with staff concerning that. One of the things that I think is a little bit unfair in the statement. Typically, when we're doing the things we're doing here, it's for the planning effort itself. It's not the building of the plan. And 50% of the money required to do this plan, we did secure. And typically in planning, you know, if the entity is able to come up with the 50%, we have found that the board has found that sufficient as we do the planning efforts. As we move forward with construction, as I mentioned, we believe that there's some good planning money available to be able to help with the construction of the project. You know, but everything begins with the plan itself.
The next part of the question I have is, they have too, Daggett County's financial difficulties are neither new or nor unexpected. What kind of comments can you respond to that, please?
And I also responded to staff on that one as well. I took a little bit of exception to that, and I don't mean that rudely, but as far as Daggett County being a small county and some of the difficulties they're having, those are ongoing. But the fact of what's happened in connection with their jail and some of the things they're dealing with there, that is
new,
and that was unexpected. And Commissioner Lytle, if you would like to speak more to that.
Recognizing that planning by definition means that we should not be coming to you for an emergency planning thing, the exigency that's created in our budgets right now and in our ability to invite more use on our public lands and the subsequent economic development that can come from that as a secondary or tertiary, but it still ends up being the shining part of it. But right now, what our biggest thing is, we're in a forest plan revision right now with the Forest Service, which is a timing issue, as well as the BLM and their travel management planning that's occurring right now in the northeast corner of that Green River District. We're in a situation right now where it's a timing issue to be able to get this plan going in a particularly focused way for us to be able to involve ourselves in those other planning efforts that are federal land planning efforts. The benefits to having that done are significant to us, but without the plan and without the effort right now, that in terms of trying to speak to that exigency question, and the budget part of it is, we're not in a position to initiate those things right now in any form. And after our discussions with Sunrise, with Seven County and Uinta County, but also with Director Hayes, he sees the value of this relative to other places and what's been done down in Paiute and other counties. And we're looking at it from a very broad point. It's not just bike. And that's, I think, that was referenced early in one of the questions in terms of a pre-existing plan that was more bike-oriented. We're looking at all of it. And I would defer to the plan part of it with what Uinta County's already done. Reintroduce.
This is Aaron Averett with Sunrise that provided the estimates. But if I could just tag on just to one thing that Commissioner Lytle said as well, and I think pretty well most everybody sitting around this table will understand what Commissioner Lytle said is the forest is going through, in the Ashley Forest, going through a plan revision as we speak. And that has been going on for a period of time. And one of the things, even the state of Utah, the legislature, in developing the plans, has wanted us to be able to have plans that are consistent, because the bottom line is the federal agencies, there's a goal at least to be consistent with state and local plans, and to be able to be not after the fact, but to be at least hopefully side by side with the fact rather than after the fact.
My comments were just to kind of reiterate what's already been said, but the resource management plans that the state mandated that have been just recently turned in, they do a lot to protect or to look out for the interests of those rural counties. But this, what we've noticed in Uinta County is that as the BLM revisions are taking place and as the Forest Service revisions are taking place, they're looking for more information a little bit deeper into those not necessarily just trails, but the corridors that can be used for transportation too. And so the trails is a word that kind of encompasses all the different modes of transportation that can be in those areas. But that's what we've kind of noticed, is that helps strengthen those counties' position to have this master plan that specifically focuses on those trails, corridors that are in those federal lands too. And the expediency is that those are happening. The BLM has indicated to us that they are starting in the Daggett County area, and then they will move through Uinta County. So the Uinta County plan will be in place to be able to strengthen Uinta County's position in those areas, but they've indicated to us that Daggett County is where they're going first. So,
Mr. Chairman, if you indulge me, I have two more questions.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
These two questions come from your citizens of the Daggett County. The first one says, why Daggett County didn't come directly before commission rather than going to the Seven County Association Coalition?
And can I answer that?
Yes.
Again, I think part of the problem we've had is this application may not have been well understood. This application is a multi-county application. This has the tie-ins with Uinta County. This went before the AOG, Commissioner Stringer, the commissioners. This is a multi-county. It isn't just a Daggett County.
Okay, thank you. And the last one is, the individual was asking me that, can we just remedy the existing problem with the jail to recapture the income from the state rather than stating another expenses item? So have you done anything to remedy the loss from the state for the jail? Are you going to forego to that? What are you doing with the jail? That was the question was.
We have a meeting Monday. We've had one meeting already. We have another coming with our senator and representative, as well as with the help me out.
The Corrections Department.
Corrections plus the economic development folks, rural economic development, plus John.
Workforce Director, Services.
Pierpont. We're looking at many things on the table right now to see how to
ask that question.
Repurposing. Repurposing is one of the options that we're looking at for the jail. We have a bond right now that is current on the jail that is a general obligation bond, so we need to make function of it. We're working with Zions Bank has also been present at that meeting as a financial advisor, financial advice. I don't know how particular it is in terms of their role exactly, other than help. to help understand what are the options and help develop options. Right now we're without 11 employees. we stopped. Well, we had to let go of people because we did not see a near future fix for refilling the jail. It was, the jail has been the only way that we could function with the jail was having better than 70 inmates at least function above. Pardon me for the lack of words. There's a break-even point at about 70 inmates with a total of 83 that we can hold. Last year was the first year that we came close or came to that point where we were actually putting money back into where we could repay the bond ahead of the general obligation or into the principal of it. So we are in a discernment process right now to figure it out. So I'm not trying to avoid your question.
Oh, no.
I don't know how else to answer it.
This was just the old citizen asking me that we need to consider doing something with that rather than coming with another project to add expense to the county. So I'm just kind of relaying the message exactly.
Okay. I may have overspoke.
No. Thank you.
More than you needed. But
thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Commissioner Treasurer Damschen, sorry.
Mr. Lytle, I've heard that, so your current financing on the facility is a tax exempt, and so you're limited in the types of things that you can do with that facility,
exactly.
Governmental use.
Yes.
I've heard of the possibility of refunding or refinancing the facility with taxable bonds, and in the repurposing that you could put certain private use or private activities into that facility and with taxable bonds there wouldn't be any problem with the IRS, that sort of a thing. I'm kind of curious, in any discussions along those lines, what are the types of private activities or business purposes or what have you? Has there been any specific discussion on that? I'm just kind of curious what kinds of things might work in that facility if it were renovated or repurposed in some way. Has there been any specific ideas about what kinds of things are most readily available to utilize that facility for?
Yes. We're in the very early stages, just in terms of here's another idea kind of a thing. As a potentially a state departments within, how to state it? Well, one is healthcare has made thrown that option into it. There's a lot of research to do on what we can or can't do that way. But it sure is enticing to look at, so we're following up to look that way. Workforce services, others, with broadband, the broadband project with UEN working its way toward us, that is more enticing to the different agencies. So it may be something where we can house multiple agency type representatives. The Forest Service has been approached. They're looking for a new building. Don't know if it's going to get any traction, but at least it's one of the things we're looking at. The other thing that's still in the mix is it is a corrections facility, and there are still statewide needs for corrections housing, or at least among different counties, as we sit in one. So there's a lot of brainstorming occurring right at the moment where we're trying to see, and we're certainly not sitting idly by to say help us out while we sit on our butt. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can that we know to do, and if there's, in terms of adding more projects, as Mr. Zanotti had spoken toward and the comment that had been received, this is one of the things that we look forward to trying to do. We can't just stop. And, you know, as all of you know, as either elected officials or state employees, throwing up your hands isn't one of the choices. So one step forward, we keep trying to take a step forward. Sometimes it feels like a quagmire, but we'll keep pushing ahead. And I'll put a plug in for our, to the point that we're putting on a PRCA rodeo on the 1st and 2nd for the first time to celebrate our centennial. As an effort to pull together our community, we've had things that have pushed us hard. And so we're looking for ways to economically develop or maintain what we have for visitors, as well as work in the background on the infrastructure needs and the trail transportation planning is one of those things in the background that needs to occur. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Further questions? Yes, Commissioner Adams.
I just noticed something that I want to remind the board members of. The very last thing in our packet is a letter from the Lieutenant Governor about this project, and he states in there that these activities leading up to the loss of the jail services were sad, to say the least, but the unexpected loss of $1 million-plus to a small county is nothing short of devastating. And then later in the letter he says, I understand that Seven County Infrastructure is making application to the CIB to help Daggett County with the Trails Master Plan. What a great idea. Just to reiterate that what happened at the jail created a pretty large unexpected loss in revenue for the county.
Okay, Commissioner Ogden.
Back to the question of why is this an emergency? I know we're having a catastrophic situation here, but there again, couldn't this gone through the process instead of coming as an emergency? I wondered also, was this project ever put on your capital improvement fund through Daggett County?
First to the emergency, I know we spoke to this, but the issue that's happened in the jail is creating a severe financial hardship to Daggett County. The second point that I would remind that I think does lend to the reason that this should be approved now is because the planning process to be able to get these plans on the trail system, to be able to try and develop that in coordination with a forest revision of their whole planning revision that's going on in the forest. We want to be in on that, not after the fact. It's very difficult after the fact to affect anything that happens with the federal government, because then it takes another plan however many years later or an amendment. And if we can be on the front end to have this built into the plan, it needs to be done now if we want to be able to affect that. Anything else you'd say to that?
Another question I have, I guess, is once again, why didn't this go through Daggett County and it's gone through the Seven County Coalition?
Again, this is a seven county project, because this isn't just Daggett County. It's the connections into
all the other counties.
It's kind of, I don't know if these are the exact numbers, but kind of a 75-25. The majority of it is in Daggett County, but it does have those connections.
As far as the AOG and as the idea came with UNA counties, the project that they'd had ongoing, we did have the discussion. The part of it's been a quick timing, and from a planning standpoint, everything just seems to be falling in place because of the other planning efforts that we're trying to address.
And it is on the seven county list.
Okay. I just wondered if it was on the county capital improvement list. That's what I was wondering. Also, have you tried for other funds? I talked to one of the people from the tourism last week, and they said that they have a lot of grant money available. Have you guys went down that path as well?
Yes. I did have a discussion with Nan Anderson from GoEd, and it's my understanding when we get ready, once the plan is done, when we get ready to do the actual construction, there is fairly significant money through the GoEd office. She said there were millions of dollars. Of course, that's spread out across the state of Utah, but, and how that gets allocated. But again,
more for implementation.
But under the planning, we feel fortunate we were able to secure the $100,000 from the state of Utah. And at our board meeting tomorrow, with board authorization, we will sign contracts to be able to secure the $100,000 that we could put with us.
Let's go to Commissioner, or sorry, Mr. Galecki.
I've got a few questions. So you speak about the master, the forest plan. And I know the Manti LaSalle is doing their forest plan that was last updated in 1986. Currently, they're just in a scoping phase of it. And so it's a long ways out between scoping and planning. You know, it takes years to put that plan together. So where is, when we talk about the Ashley Forest, are they further ahead or are they at the same state in the master plan?
In terms of the Forest Service, they just got done with their assessment. I'm not sure where it is in scoping. They're slower than molasses in some forms and much too quick in other forms. They're a pain in the butt.
Right.
Quite honestly, that's why we don't want to miss another season or set it back any. And on the BLM side of it, and our plans was 83 or 86, the Ashley. We're in the same boat.
So the plan's years out, as far as the forest.
But the activity on the plan is what we need to have something on it. In terms of the NEPA that is required through it,
NEPA in this, right?
But
there's no NEPA in this.
Not in the planning process, right. No. It would come later, and that's why we want to get ahead of the game with the forest plan.
But I believe, I'm not exactly sure when the other one, but I believe this one is further along on the Ashley. I know with the community leaders and that's been going on for well over a year. And so we don't want to get behind, public comments and all those things a lot of that is being developed as we speak now. So
if I could give you a little bit of, I will do our darndest to come with a county or within seven counties process when it comes time for implementation, that it not be under an emergency situation. That's part of the planning effort. And if we can get anything we can do to avoid having to come back in an emergency, if we can get the planning started sooner, that will avoid that end of it as well.
And that the scope of the project that's proposed is to include alternative funding sources for each of the proposed implementations that would take place. So it would be to identify the economic development money, the travel and tourism money, the state parks money, other sources of funding that could happen through the process.
Another one on matching of funds. Typically, an applicant comes in with 50%, where the 50% is being matched by the state or by
state parks.
Doesn't SIC have a certain amount of money for projects itself? So the question is, does it have money, which I think it does, and why isn't SIC coming in with any matching funds?
No, that was all part of the review, and I mentioned this to as I visited with the RPG, the planning team. The question was, this is a certain percent of the total budget you have, and I thought when a county comes in, the city comes in, typically staff hasn't looked at and said, okay, Uinta County, you have a $50 million budget. Vernal City, you have a X number. And this is only this much of your budget. You have this much in reserve. What I felt when I was on the board and sat in the place where you did it, wherever that money came from, if there was a 50% match, that was generally sufficient if we could come up with 50% of the funding. Now, yes, we could take out of the funding that we have, but we're going to take out of the left hand and compromise us on the right. But it's just a matter of how we do things, I guess. Could we do it? It could be done, but then it affects us with our overall funding that we have. So.
Treasurer Damshin.
I continue to have concerns about procurement where the coalition is concerned. We learned last month that counsel to the coalition, who's been paid to date over $400,000, was selected without any competitive procurement. My good friend Sean Reyes knows a lot of good attorneys. So does Tom Roberts. When I need bond counsel, that's a specialty. Even the attorney general issues a competitive procurement periodically for attorneys that serve the state on our bond deals. I can't procure something over $5,000 without a competitive procurement, and we've disbursed $400,000 for not just legal services but administrative services as well. So the coalition has an RFQ out. We talked about that last month too. When you issue an RFQ, I think you mean to issue an RFP. These are pursuant to the selection of single provider. That's an RFP. I would recommend, among the many things that I can suggest, and I'm happy to spend some time with you offline, I've done way more time-consuming procurements under state law than I'd like to admit or remember. So I'm happy to sit down and advise you and give you some ideas. The Rural Planning Group just released a really good kind of a primer, a good starting point, best practices document on procurement, so I would give that a read. That would be a good start. I wouldn't say that it would be the end all. So we have this procurement issued recently for project financial analyst on potential thorium energy and hydrogen plant projects. So my first question is, who wrote this procurement?
That was Eric Johnson.
Okay. So one thing I should mention about that, I've asked Eric Johnson before whether or not he's a registered municipal advisor with the Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board and the Securities and Exchange Commission. If I remember correctly, his answer is no. And having Mr. Johnson draft such a procurement for financing of infrastructure is a likely violation of the Securities and Exchange Commission Municipal Advisor Rule. That's a concern, obviously. One of these projects, it's hydrogen plants to be used as fueling stations for hydrogen electric semi-trucks, as proposed by Nikola Motor Company. Does Nikola Motor Company have any trucks in production on the road at this time?
They do not.
That's my understanding.
Mr. Damchin, could I comment on one thing on this?
Can you speak closer to the mic, Mr. McKee?
Thank you. And I realize these are more probably questions for Seven County rather than for the you know, the applicant. So I don't want to, you know, have those you know. But as
the coalition is the applicant, Mr. McKee.
Yes.
So I have coalition questions.
Sure.
We proceed.
But in any case, with Nikola. Some of you may be aware the legislature in this past legislative session authorized CIB to consider funding hydrogen infrastructure. The coalition has not taken a position whether, you know, we've been approached to look at this. We felt like that to be able to look at this properly, it'd be valuable to have the expertise and to be able to analyze that in such a manner that that could be reviewed and looked at it with, you know, in a proper context. And so it's not a decision yes, no, it's just a matter to do some, you know, have an analyst look at that. So.
Right.
Thank you.
My understanding is that this procurement was sent to Zions Public Finance, municipal advisory firm, Lewis Young Robertson, which is a municipal advisory firm. Jeff Holt, an investment banker, specializes in infrastructure and port finance, P3. Cody Dieter, a former employee of Lewis Young. He's, as far as I know, Cody's a registered municipal advisor. So he's listed as an energy consultant, I guess. Sorensen Capital, private equity. I don't know if you would characterize them any differently. Peterson Partners, private equity. Mac Miller Legal, a mining and energy law firm. ARUP, is, I think that's blood services. Isn't that a blood services ARUP? Is there a different ARUP that this went to?
I don't know. These, what I am aware of is he sent it to a group of people that he thought may have interest, plus publicly advertised so that, you know, we could.
Sent to Fred Kramer. I don't know who Fred Kramer is or what he does. South Pass Capital. I don't know about them either. Paradox Consulting is a marketing consulting firm, I believe. There's no indication that I have that they're specialized in energy or infrastructure expertise. And then Wind River Companies and Indigena Capital, a couple of capital firms. The procurement was out on the street for 5 days. It was sent to a staggering patchwork quilt of different types of firms. I had one very knowledgeable, sophisticated firm that was recipient of the procurement say, it looks like it's built for Jeff Holt. Of course, Jeff Holt was one of the primary architects of the Infrastructure Throughput Fund, and so that kind of thing creates concern for me. Now, if we were focused and we said, well, we really want public-private partnership, infrastructure finance expertise, and Jeff Holt certainly provides that, this procurement could have gone to Joey Natoli at Goldman Sachs, Isaac Sine at J.P. Morgan, Will Fryman at J.P. Morgan, Dave Livingstone at Citigroup, John Daniel at Barclays, Adam Woodard at Wells Fargo, John Muhlenberg, Anthony DiAgostino, or Mark Saar at RBC Capital Markets, Kevin O'Brien at Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, Randy Campbell at Morgan Stanley, or Adam Woodard at Wells Fargo Capital Markets. Those are all kind of in the ballpark. I've seen this before with a state agency that built a procurement that was made for keeping the incumbent, which is not a healthy, productive procurement. When, and I actually had a firm that might have bid on that make a similar comment. They looked at it and they said, this is totally just to stay with the incumbent. We're not going to respond. So I wouldn't be surprised to learn that many of these firms will look at this and say, we don't do anything in this space. We're not going to respond. And furthermore, we have 5 days to respond. I do a lot of procurements for investment services, underwriting services, financial advisory. We almost always go out 3 weeks, sometimes 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the complexity and the depth of the procurement. Now, your procurement was pretty short. There weren't a whole lot of detailed questions in it, but you're dealing with some pretty complex subject matter. You also get into the issue of question and answer. Usually there's a window of time wherein prospective bidders can ask questions and get clarification on what it is that you're looking for. 5 days on the street. I just want to try to be as nice as I can and say your procurement practices are at best they don't look like they're very productive. And that's the nicest thing I can say about them. So I have significant concerns because you've, as we talked about last month, you've spent down $3 million of a $5 million grant, and this money is going out the door in large chunks. And even though you're not subject to state procurement code, I think that as members of this board, we should be very concerned about the processes that you're employing in vetting and evaluating prospective vendors that are receiving tens and hundreds of thousands, and in some cases millions of dollars, that's going through CIB to the coalition and out to those vendors. I think it would be good for us to get together offline and talk more about procurement.
Thank you, Mr. Damchin, and I will tell you this, I'd be happy to do so. And maybe just to respond, you know, the coalition, we believe the coalition it's a great thing for the state of Utah. We want to be above board in everything that we're doing. I'm here to tell you, honesty and integrity is everything that we are about, that we want to be about. I wish that Mr. Johnson was here because I'm not able to respond to a couple things because I don't know because I haven't directly done that. But I will tell you this. At our last board meeting, as we were going to get this information out to do the procurement for those services, both with Nikola Motors and the Molten Salt, if it's only been out for 5 days, I was not aware of that. It's my understanding that those were all due. I think it was August 1st, if I remember right. So, but in any case, I don't want to have anything that would give us, a second thought of not doing anything that is 100% above board, because that is what we're about, is to be honest and to be full of integrity, to do the right things, to use the money in the most efficient. And I guess if I could just say this, I've felt really bad since last month. We really do appreciate this board. We appreciate everything that happens. I give you my pledge that we are going to do everything that we can. We are working very hard to do everything right. And I will suggest to our board tomorrow, we have a board meeting tomorrow, that we withhold awarding on this, and if we need to throw that out again, and Mr. Damshin would be happy to sit down with you. I'd love to be able to sit down with you and maybe, that any concerns that you have, let's make sure that we do have them addressed. I will mention you had also brought up about the transparency, on the website. My understanding was that the coalition was required to do that beginning in January. It was when the law was to come in effect. That is all online. Seth Overson has sent that out to all the board members that has been updated. There was took a little bit of time to, I'm not sure what it is, but between the state and everything, but it was delayed, and it wasn't up as soon as it should be. We are working hard to try to get things the way they should be. And Mr. Damshin, I give you my pledge. We will do everything we can to the very best of our ability. I know our board. I know the integrity of our board. I can tell you honesty, integrity, and using money in the wisest, expeditious manner is what we are about. And good questions are good for us. It makes us all better when we get through.
Thank you, Mr. McKee.
Thank you. Mr. Galecki.
I just have a couple more on the project itself. So pretty much it's okay. Here's often how I look at these exercises, is that there's $200,000 is a lot of money. I look at it as even $100 an hour for somebody running a GIS and a lot of these planning things. It's that's 2,000 hours, and I look at it. So that's, one person out. So you can break that out however you want. And so that seems like that's a lot of money as far as, is there that much work there? My other question is, since it's an estimate as well and it's only a planning project, is it typical that you actually also add on a 20% contingency on top of that? So all these seem quite inflated to match a $200,000, to match a grant as opposed to the actual work that's involved. So I'm wondering if you can address exactly the hours and such involved in the project.
And just a heads up, so UDOT is the funding agency for the Trails Master Plan in Uinta County, and that budget is $350,000. And I agree with you. When I first saw what that budget was for the Uinta County one, I thought, what do you need to do with trails that are $350,000? But what it has come down to is, you can imagine in the beginning doing an inventory of what's existing in there. That includes, and we're looking at the town of Manila, the town of Dutch John, and you go through, and you can imagine from the UDOT perspective, now we're looking at just a transportation as well. So what are the shoulders of these roads? What are the inventory of where is connectivity going? Is there good connections between businesses in the area? Is there good connections between parks and schools? We're looking at safe routes to schools. We're looking at safety as far as shoulders go. Are there places for people to recreate or to go jogging along city streets and city roads too, and along county roads and things too? So it is a little bit I think when the trail's name gets put on it, it's hard to see what the actual scope is. But on the urban side, and Daggett County has some of this, but you have that part of it too. But the bigger part too is now, then outside, as soon as you leave those cities, which is a huge undertaking just to inventory all the roads, all the existing shoulders, all the pathways, the connectivity.
But they're all GIS based, right? And so it's a matter of just getting a few files from each entity and overlaying them?
Well, on the outside of the city, yes. But what we've had to do in Vernal City and Uinta County is go through and there's roads, there's the specific road, but there's no information as far as where the sidewalks are, how wide the shoulders are, how much right-of-way room there is there too, things like that too. So yes, the GIS is integral, and especially in the outside the area. So in Daggett County, it is just collecting the GIS. But what we've noticed is you have four different entities that provide that information. So you've got USGS has information on for a GIS that you can pull through. You have the Forest Service, you have the BLM, and the AGRC has their own separate database as well too. And so to try to pull those all together and clean it up isn't just as easy as sticking all those files on one map. So when we're able to go through that, we can clean up that information and look at it as well too. And then the scope of the project goes through and says, okay, what are the connection points? What are the areas that need to be identified where improvements should be made? A lot of that is public involvement as well too. Where are people actually using those? UDOT just spent maybe I'm not supposed to say how much they spent. They spent a lot of money working with social media companies to try to figure out where people are recreating, where they're walking, where they are biking between areas too. And they've asked that we incorporate that information as well too, so that they know where people are actually using these and what improvements need to be made as well too. There's a big push at UDOT right now to look at the alternative transportations, and that's where this funding for Uinta County came from, the alternative transportation funds. And they want to know where are people actually walking, biking, and other forms of recreation and connectivity. And that's why, I hope that answers your question, Greg, is how far, that the scope is not just looking at some lines on a map to see where some nice trails would be, but to go through. And then on the flip side, the back side of that too, in Uinta County, we're to the point where we have identified 100 different projects that could happen. Now we're going through and vetting those each one by one and coming up with a priority list of which of these projects would actually show benefit, and is that benefit safety? Is it recreation? Is it tourism? Is it connectivity? What are those benefits from those? And as we identify those benefits for them, then the priority list kicks out. The subsequent priority list then goes through and has an implementation plan for each of those that says, where would money come from this? Is there a return revenue? What's the economic benefits from each of these identified projects? And then we can see which ones warrant implementation and which ones maybe are a dream or something that can happen in the future.
If I may follow up to that, Greg. The International Mountain Biking Association plan that was done in 2013, I suspect, focused on mountain biking. You are familiar with that plan, it seems. Does that facilitate the planning that you're doing and taking out the mountain biking component, or does that need to be revised because it's nearly 5 years old? What's the status of that plan in relation to this application?
That plan identified 450 miles worth of trails in Daggett County that was suggested by the International Mountain Biking Association. To implement that plan would be over, I think the estimate that they had 5 years ago was $2.5 million to build 450 miles of trails in there. I think our intent in looking at just trying to scope that is to look and see which of those actually make sense. Where would you start? Because there was not an implementation plan in there. It just said, you should have 450 miles of trails in Daggett County for mountain biking.
Speak to the competing interests either.
So, to help me then, you know, when you're trying to estimate the cost of a planning project, you have, you know, various, you know, so you have five items here. So, how do you get to your cost?
Okay, and that having already gone through it in other areas helps us a lot. So we can see, we can look at the scope and say, okay, the square mileage and the trails plan that's already been done for mountain biking in that area, we can review that data, we can look through it, and we can say, okay, we think it's going to cost this to review these things.
When you say cost, how many hours you're going to put into it?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Yep. What hourly rate do you estimate when you put in your things together?
So an average rate for our company of people that we would have working on something like this is between $100 and $125 an hour.
Okay, so that's pretty close. I was just doing 100.
Yes, yeah, that's pretty close.
So then again, and then going back to the second half of that, why is there a contingency on that if you've already estimated it?
Okay, so two reasons. Number one is that obviously the Seven Counties Infrastructure Coalition has not gone through a procurement process for this yet. They haven't received bids for someone to do this. We've looked at it close enough to give this estimate, and we know based on what we've done in the past, but obviously they don't have any bids in hand to be able to do it. The second part of that, too, is that some of the things that may come up during the forest revision plans, the BLM plans, too, that could affect this might require a change in scope once you get into it as well, too. So if I was in charge or suggesting how this went, I would propose a base scope and then say that if there was things that come up once the discussions with BLM and Forest Service start going, that there would be a little bit of room to be able to specifically address those issues that come up during that process.
Can you speak into the mic? Sorry.
Thank you. Just for information, Sunrise, for the work and information they've done for this, there has not been any expenditure to the coalition at this point. As far as the only expenditure we've had in putting together this plan has been, we've had Heather Hoyt. We've done this through her because we can do it, honestly, cheaper than we can through engineering firms. And so the CIB application, the application going to the state has been through that. This has all been free gratis at this point.
Commissioner Lytle, has the county commission or any entity attempted to fund any of the recommendations from IMBA?
As far as I know, and I won't have specifics, and I can come back with a better answer, but over on Dowd Mountain, the trail there, I believe, was part of that process or developed from that. From my recollections in that.
Has any evaluation been done on the economic impact of those trail improvements?
Not yet.
I have some concerns that, you know, we're approaching this under the guise of trying to help Daggett County economically because of the situation that you find yourselves in, which I do think is nothing new. Daggett County, for as long as I can remember, has been in an economic situation. And it seems to me like doing additional planning at a not inexpensive rate, we'll leave it at that, no offense, Aaron, spending more money on Sunrise Engineering or whoever else to do planning does not have a huge economic impact. Actually, building the trails has some economic impact because you're actually having people out there doing some constructing. And then once the trails are in use, you would hope that there would be significant economic impact. I think that's the entire point of this. My concern is that we have a plan in place that is very specific. I'll grant you that. But if we're not evaluating that impact and we're not building on that, are we missing an economic opportunity? And coming before the impact board and saying, well, let's spend more money on planning, which everyone knows I'm the biggest proponent in the world for planning, but if you're looking for immediate economic impact, then this isn't it. And could we spend this $200,000 better in, because we have plans to do trails, and actually do something that would provide more of an immediacy. So.
Very good points. One of the things, and why I think probably the value on this is this will actually correlate. I guess I'm going to go in stages and bring me back in if I start going into the rabbit trail.
That's interesting.
That was heaven.
Thanks, big guy. Appreciate the input. This planning process would be comprehensive in nature. So, because there are competing interests, whether it's the horseback people, if we speak strictly to trails, whether it's horseback, ATV, UTV, foot, bicycle, Jeep, truck, whatever, we don't have a comprehensive plan that helps us even have know where to go. And that was from my perspective, one of the issues with the previous planning effort that went into development of the bike trails. This is to build from or within, to bring it in and have it be tested with the other uses that are there and actually help us prioritize out of those 450 miles what can we really do. The planning is not the immediate, but we have to have the planning before we can do things to actually put the money in our pockets, if that were a way to say it, or to put people on the ground and give them the opportunity to use them and hopefully reap some benefit from it.
And I agree with that, which is why I ask, what have you done with previous plans that have been done? You know, if those aren't being implemented,
the best. Well, yeah, and because of that money part of it, and the law, yeah, Daggett County, I don't like being up here with having to say, yep, forever we've been on the poor side of that deal and with our handout. That's apparent. This to me has some wisdom in it, in the sense that we are bringing in another plan, bringing in a more comprehensive plan that brings in what was done for whatever reason, financially or even user need or desire, because there's always that issue of build it and they will come. Doesn't mean, well, I go to vulgar terms after that. We'll be quiet. But in terms of that comprehensive plan and being able to address many, many other issues, but also maybe that's something we have to look at. And, well, not maybe. Definitely put in something that as we develop and with the planning process, what do we do first? What's going to have some bang for its buck? Or where are those needs? And I don't know that came from the bicycle plan or the mountain bike. So I think, if anything, we can build from it. And have it be answer the questions you're asking.
One final question that I don't think was answered, and if I missed it, I apologize. The PILT, a direct grant to the county, would that affect your PILT payments?
It should not, as a class 5 or.
Daggett County falls in a different category.
Okay.
Than my
so it should be okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Or rather concerned. On the status of the state park fund that's supposed to, I'm reading from my project summary sheet. It says that $50,000 will be awarded to begin the study, which is good. The WELB is good, committed. The second part is kind of concerns me. It says Coalition may be awarded another $50,000 upon completion of the plan. In my humble opinion, that maybe is not commitment. That can change overnight to No Way Jose. From the state park or the BLM or service.
No comprende? What's the...
No, let me take this. I'm familiar with this, you're referring to the state grant.
Right.
And in my conversation with Heather, she put that in. What happens when we sign the contract, $50,000 will be available immediately. And then the way the state does this, the last $50,000 comes after you have performed what you need. So it comes at the end. And I think the question that staff was having, if you find yourself $50,000 short with bills, how are you going to handle that?
That's exactly the question.
And so, essentially, I didn't want to get ahead of myself and say, because we're going to go through a procurement process. It may be Sunrise, it may be Cisco, it may be any engineering group out there. But, for example, Sunrise has indicated if it's them, we could hold the billing until the money comes. I think that could be built in any contract. I think also with our 7-county infrastructure coalition, if it was just to cover it for a month or two, if that's what we had to do, we could do it that way as well. So, but the money will come. It is a commitment for $100,000. with the contract that will be signed. It's just the last 50,000 is at the back end. The first 50,000 is the front end.
Thank you.
Okay, we've had a lot of questions. Is anybody ready for a motion on this?
Are we done?
Well, are there other questions before a motion? Comment from Tom Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make raise some questions with regard to the PILT monies because in my experience, and I haven't been around for a couple of years, but the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition is a different animal than usually have been. And PILT payments, I think, are a real concern. And I think that there would be an excellent chance that there might be a reduction in PILT payments based upon a grant going to Seven County Infrastructure.
Rather than a coalition.
That's a very good point.
The idea of there are two methods of receiving PILT monies. You can take a smaller amount or you can take a larger amount and then take some deductions. So, and all counties have that same option. But the issue with regard to PILT monies, and the Comptroller of the Currency dealt with the issue involving the state of Utah back in the 80s, and dealing specifically with an interlocal cooperative, talking about if an interlocal cooperative is doing things on behalf of its members, which are counties, doing members' projects or doing things for them, like Duchesne Trail Plan, that will result in reduction in PILT payments because that will be considered a payment received by that county. So I wanted just to warn you that there may be a real concern with regard to if you take this grant through the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition, that may affect the PILT payments.
I have a question quickly. A very good question that you have, but I need to understand it more clearly. You're saying that with the money coming from Seven, with the grant being made to Seven County and applied to Daggett County, that Daggett County's PILT payments could be reduced by it?
Yes.
Yes.
The way PILT payments and work is that...
I'll finish my questions. Pardon me. So I understand the PILT payment process, not as a lawyer, but as somebody who has to work within it. And the category of county that we are, will that change? You're suggesting it doesn't matter what category we are, where we have been as a category five, I believe, or what's the, somebody help me with the terminology. But
you know, let me help this man. My understanding, and Tom, certainly defer to you because
part of my question.
You are the expert there, but it's been my understanding there were several counties in the state of Utah. I'll be the first to say I'm not speaking with a great deal of confidence here, but it's been my understanding Daggett and several counties do not fall under the same provision with the PILT offset that the rest of the counties do.
That's what I'm asking.
It's my understanding, because this issue has obviously come up a lot over the years. excuse me. There are two schemes under PILT with regard to how counties can claim monies. One of them is to take the full amount of PILT monies and then allow for reductions based upon receipt of other monies. Instead of doing that, a county can opt to take a lesser amount and not have to deal with PILT reduction payments. And depending upon the situation of the county, that may or may not be a good deal for them. And I don't know what it is for Daggett, but, you know, it's often said some counties are exempt. They're not exempt. They just choose to receive payments under this alternative plan, alternative way of receiving.
Is that some research you would be willing to do for us?
Could I make a suggestion?
Research I've done.
If we could.
I wasn't pointing a finger.
I mean, be happy to. I mean,
more detail for Daggett in particular.
I guess a suggestion or a request that I would make if we could have an opportunity to research this issue, but if the board would feel inclined to make a motion in favor of this pending
contingent,
and what I would like, Tom, if we could, is if we could have Eric and yourself and the right group of us, if we can sit down and work through that issue, if we can work through that in a favorable type of way, that if this could be approved. approved, but it would be contingent upon being able to do that.
No, and I'm happy on behalf of the board as their counsel to meet with you and talk with the research that I have, the issues that I see, you know, this the old opinion from the comptroller, the currency with regard to this issue, because, you know, the way PILT works is PILT payments are reduced to the extent that a county receives money under one of the payment laws. Mineral lease monies are one of those payment laws. And so the money from the impact board is mineral lease and payment under the payment law. And if it's given to Sixth County for your benefit and through to you, under that one opinion, there's a good chance that that would be cause for reduction in your PILT payments.
Okay, then that my question then is, if it were coming straight to Daggett County, would that still apply?
If it came directly from the impact board to
the county,
it would be the same issue.
Okay,
that would be clear there.
Clarification, and so there is some homework to do, or at least some conversation for us with your help.
Right, and I'm happy to talk with Eric, provide him with the research and the opinions that I found on this issue. So.
Thank you, Tom. So, if I may, Mr. Chairman, does Daggett County have a transportation special service district?
We do.
Okay. And if you ran it through the transportation special service district, would that eliminate any PILT concerns?
I mean, Utah. Not sure if I like saying this on the record. Utah is fairly well known for their efforts at minimizing PILT reductions. One of the systems they have developed is a system of special service districts, and we have convinced the Department of Interior that if payments are made to a special service district, and that special service district created by the county has taken over the obligation from the county, so the county no longer has the obligation, then payments to that special service district would not be received by the county, and therefore there'd be no reduction. That's why and we run in Utah a lot of things through special service districts for that reason.
Thank you.
And
good question.
And with that, again, I go back to experience on the board, but we have had, while I was on the board, several times when an applicant would come in and this PILT question did come up, and the applicant name changed, and it was paperwork that the board was willing to do. And if that would make that work, we would certainly be willing for that to happen on our end, if that would be amenable.
We affectionately refer to that as paperwork. It is not paperwork. It is real substantive legal differences. And
thank you. With all the right terminology.
There's no such thing as just paperwork to someone.
Okay. Other questions from the board?
I guess real quick, so if I'm understanding Tom correctly concerning PILT, it may be the wrong applicant. Is that correct?
That's right.
And, sorry, so to follow up, so even if it was on the pen, because it's true documents, like if it's to go on the pending list, you can't change applicants.
The board in the past has allowed for the changing of applicants. There have been adjustments, like when a county comes in and instead they decide, okay, no, we need to run this through our municipal building authority. And so the board does allow for change in that nature of the applicant, where there's control or some type of similarity or relationship between the applicants. You still have to have an applicant who actually has an interest and owns whatever is produced.
So in this case, then, is there a legal relationship between Seven County and the Special Service District?
No.
I'm not aware of any structural or contractual relation between those. You know, in terms of the authority the board has given or accepted with regard to changing applicants, I don't see anything here that violates policies and rules, but, you know, that I'm aware of.
Would it be possible to have a motion of support to the project and working with legal counsel from Seven County, Daggett County, and
procurement,
and just making sure, and if it meets those requirements, to be able to move forward?
Well, I haven't seen any makers of motions yet on the board, so are we to a point that somebody wants to consider a motion, or are there further questions?
I have just one more question to ask, Commissioner. Are you comfortable in lieu of all the information that Mr. Roberts has stated, that your county may be affected by PILT? Were you comfortable to take any motion today, or you want to go talk to your council and come back with application from the county directly? Because up to you, you're the one who's going to go back and explain your position to your council.
Correct. Yes and yes and no. I can get succinct as we get closer to lunch. I do want clarification on the PILT impact, the impact of PILT payments. I do understand the special service district part of it. I do may be under the misunderstanding that as a small county or an impacted county by public lands, the way it's set up within their formula structure, my understanding was that for whichever reason of those two, if there wasn't a third, our PILT payments were not affected because of our classification. I don't know the ins and outs of that, to answer your question. And yes, so absolutely, yes, there is an out for a way to do it with the special service district, as well as we need to protect our PILT payment in the best sense of the word. If there is a way to do it within the law, we want to pursue that. What I would be hopeful for is there's the easy way and the right way. Sometimes those are difficult to figure out. Right now, the easy way would be to say we'll pull the application. But then I look at the calendar and I go, okay, is there a way to make a motion that could be contingent in an effort to not impact our PILT payment? Could there be a motion made that contingent on either the Seven County being able to work through the special service district as the entity, if that were the case? But there's those questions still arise. Is if Daggett County won't necessarily be administrating this effort, if I understand correctly, it will be coming through Daggett County won't, but Seven County will be administering it.
Well,
from my perspective, but we'll have involvement.
You know, I think if we keep it easy, Commissioner Lytle, I think the easier thing to be is if the board would feel inclined to approve the motion based on working with legal counsel to ensure that we don't have the offsets and finding the legal and correct way of being able to do that. That requires legal counsel and Seven County and yourselves. If we could do that, I believe that can be done. I think figuring that all those little details, and I don't mean little, but all those things right here is longer and broader than the board's going to want to be able to do.
And thank you for your patience.
And all we can do is try to minimize risk because
absolutely.
It's a decision by the federal government, and oddly enough, we don't control them.
Thank you.
Thank you, question.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that this applicant go back and work through the AOG. All of our applications, most of the time, comes through the AOGs. They need to work through that. If the coalition wants to be the applicant, they need to first also get support from the AOG that they're working with.
We did.
And I think that we need to try to go through that process before moving forward.
Commissioner Ogden, if I might, this did go before the AOG. And receive,
can we? I'll just interject because the motion's on the table. So the motion is to put it on the pending list.
Yeah.
So we have a motion on the table, put it on the pending list. Is there a second to that motion? And a second to the motion by Councilman Farrell. Thank you. We'll go to Mayor Norton, and we may get some applicant comment as well.
Are you able, with your timeline, to postpone this to next month to get a decision if we were able to do that in September?
That might be the best.
Sure.
That is my suggestion. If that's what the pending will do, is put it for next month's review. Maybe you could come back with these questions answered and with a different application if need be.
That may be the very best.
Okay. Any further discussion of the motion? Okay. The motion is to put it on the pending list for consideration next month. That was made by Commissioner Ogden, seconded by Councilman Farrell. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll see you next month.
Thank you for your time and patience and good questions.
Okay, last item of business on the agenda is the board member discussion on board docs, and I think Gail's going to do a quick check-in on this one. So, Gail.
Very quick. I just wanted to mention or remind that the board docs training will be at the October funding meeting after the meeting, which those are generally pretty short. We'll have more information next month. But that raises the question of, does everyone have a laptop or iPad or some sort of device that you can use this on?
So is there anybody by raise of hands that would need equipment provided by the board to accommodate board docs, either a laptop or an iPad, or does everybody have something? By show of hands, does anybody need anything?
Can I use my iPad from the UDOTS?
Yes.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So we're all good? Except
we're all
Tom.
Good. Looks like we're not ordering any equipment, so...
For the staff.
Yeah.
We might like to look at the packet.
Yeah, let's get together on that one.
Okay, so plan on training after the October funding meeting. Someone will be here in person and get us all online.
And bring your equipment with you. We'll send out some reminders, so... You may have it, but if you forget to bring it, it'll be not that useful.
Jonathan, I'm getting emails from Candace that say the board packet is attached to this email and there's nothing there.
Okay. That is good to know. We'll look into our technological needs.
That happened on this last one. Candace says, the documents are here and they're attached to this email and there's no attachment.
So one board member needs new equipment.
Yeah, it was a Google Doc. Did everyone else access it okay?
We can help
you
out.
I
can show you the email on my phone.
Well,
right now.
I don't doubt you. Maybe you do need a new device.
Yeah, we'll check our technological stuff.
I don't try and run it off. It just comes and my secretary says, I've looked.
You know what all that highway construction does to the network?
Network's down. Okay, we'll follow up with you, Commissioner Adams. So we are through our agenda. Is there a motion on the table to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. And a second. Very good. We will adjourn, and we will see you next month. What's our date? September